You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. Now my whole day's thrown off because sound effects guy Mike was cueing me 30 seconds ago feverishly. All right. Hey, everybody. Phone number, 866-901-ADAM. Mike, you were doing some semaphore there I haven't seen before. He did the Squaresville, but he did it like it was a tabletop Squaresville. Normally, as you've learned from Pulp Fiction, when you're saying someone's Squaresville, you do it vertically. He did it flat. He did the tabletop Squaresville, and then he did bring it down and bring it up simultaneously.
I thought he wanted me to bunt. I wasn't sure what was going on.
I was pointing to my machines and saying they're not up.
Not up.
So,
yeah.
All right. Instant replays are not up.
I'll tell you, it's a damn good thing we don't work for NASA, because what we would do is we would count down, launch the rocket, and then we'd get about 10 feet from the Earth, and we'd go, wait a minute, there's no fuel? All right, let's check. We would check everything after we did the launch. That's the whole thing. We need a pre-flight inspection. That's what we need.
As long as we get these kinks worked out before we actually start broadcasting this out to the public.
Yeah, right now we're just doing Vegas. So just as long as we're doing the test show in one market. All right, 866-901-ADAM. Call us. If you're from Seattle, give us a call. You got to be excited. Big win. Dominating win. Sheck, back from Denver after a big Pittsburgh win.
That's right.
We'll get into that, I'm sure. I did a little traveling over the weekend and have some thoughts. One is the airport. Always confusing to me. I wouldn't call myself a nervous flyer, but I enjoy a Bloody Mary before I get on an airplane. Because I figure, I got 5-6 hours, I'm not doing anything. I don't like the takeoff that much. Once they get up to 35,000 feet and everything's cruising along, I don't like kind of the shaky and the bumpy. And I just like a little booze coursing through the veins before we hit the air. But there's always that guesswork at the airport. Is the bar open? What day is it? Oh, we don't serve. And every city has a different ordinance. I just got back from North Carolina, and they serve booze at the airport, except for it's Sunday. And they don't serve booze until noon. And they have something like that in New York. And what day, where you are. And plus, where your clock's at. That's the other thing, too. I claim airports should be international waters.
Absolutely.
All of them. Because you get off a plane from Australia, you may have left at midnight on Tuesday, it may be noon on Thursday on your clock. How about a booze? Yes, the clock says 7:30 a.m., but you're all over the map. It's nighttime for you. Whatever it is to you, that's what it should be in the airport. And who's to say what it is? I mean, if you're coming from Tokyo, if you're coming from Australia, you're coming from Europe, or even New York, your clock's all over the place. Secondly, what's a booze going to do to you before you get on a 6-hour flight? Do you know what I mean? Are you flying the plane? Are you in charge of putting the gear up? What are your duties on the plane other than just sort of be docile? Also, take a little pressure off the folks who work on the plane, because you don't get that booze for 45 minutes or an hour till after you take off. There's that whole part where you sit there for 20 minutes, half an hour. Then there's the part where you're taking off for 20 minutes, half an hour. And then if you want something to drink, you'll get it. Meanwhile, I got the DTs. I'm climbing the walls in the airplane. But just call it international waters. Once you get on the plane, by the way, you could get a drink. So technically, the bar is closed in the airport. You walk 100 feet down the jetway. You get on the plane. You sit down in first class. You could get a Bloody Mary. What big difference does that make? We're still on North Carolina soil. Just go ahead and open it up. And also, when you travel, how the F are you supposed to figure out all the different arrangements at all the different municipalities around the world? You know what I mean? I mean, if you're used to doing your thing. Sorry, Mike. I mean to interrupt you slapping the mic with the show. Keep going. No. If you're used to sort of your ritual or your schedule, I mean, how the hell, if you're from New York or you're from L.A., how are you supposed to know there's no boozing in North Carolina on Sunday until noon? Randomly. I just say, airport, international waters.
Maybe the people at the gate, those employees at the gate could serve double duty, you know, behind, underneath there, they got a wet bar.
Yeah, that would,
Nice. I would like an aisle seat and a Bloody Mary, if you please.
Yeah, it should be like a cruise ship, really. You should, once you head to the airport, they should all gambling, prostitutes.
It's all international waters.
24-hour bars.
Yeah. No, yeah. I totally agree. No reason to ever. And also, I think, but I'm not sure. I don't know if you went up to the captain's nest, if you went up to the international, whatever, you know, they have the, each airline has their executive lounge. By the way, which I've never gained access to in my entire life. I have one of these, American Express black cards that tells you, oh, when you get the brochure to that black card, they tell you, flash it at any embassy, flash it at the White House, flash it on Air Force One, you'll walk right in.
No door in the world is closed.
No door. That opens every door, this black American. I have flashed it at like 128 of these captain's clubs at the airport. No can do. Sorry. Hit the brakes. And the other thing that always drives me nuts, and I always bring it up, first off, the women that work those clubs, it's always the same chick. She's 53. She seems like one of my mom's friends. And there's not a chance she's ever seen 1 second of the Man Show or Love Line or anything. She'll never recognize anyone. They intentionally hire people whose brain has been washed, shaken like an Etch-a-Sketch. There's nothing in it. There's no, if their own son came in and said, Mom, you know, I got about an hour to kill before my flight to Amsterdam. Sorry, I don't know who you are. Go wait outside. There's no, you show them a first class ticket, they tell you to F off. And the thing that always drives me nuts is they go, well, is it international?
Yeah.
And I go, well, no, but I'm flying from LA to New York. Yeah. That's, I know, but it's a $3,000 ticket. It's not international. But if we were in New York and I was flying to London, a 6 hour flight and a $3,000 first class ticket, then you would let me stay the same distance. We're being punished for living in LA.
I'm trying to figure out really ultimately what the benefit of the lounge is.
The benefit of the lounge is you can't get in and you want to get in.
Yeah.
That's really it. And they won't let you in and you stand by the countertop. Well, what it is you could sit down and maybe have a cocktail or watch some guy who's reading the Wall Street Journal and try to figure out what he does for a living. There's always that guy. What is this guy doing? Who's he talking to? Shouldn't he be at work? He's a jet setter. Yeah, I just want to get in. I've never gotten into one of those. And like I said, just first class ticket. Shouldn't they just let you crash there?
Makes sense
they
to
should.
Me. Let me ask you this. What happens, you say you're a little afraid with the takeoffs and so on and so forth, if the plane, you know, shame the you know, heaven forbid it would ever go down. Mm-hmm. But if the plane went down, you know, 200 people, you know, gone, let's say, at what point in the newscast do you think they mention, you know, entertainer Adam Carolla aboard the, you know, among the dead?
Well, it just depends how many other celebrities were on the plane. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What if Bob Redford's on the plane, for instance? Well, get brought up? Do you even get mentioned? Academy
if
Award
Bob
winner.
Redford's on.
No, you know what Adam would be? Adam would be also on board, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, might get an also
radio
on board.
Show host.
And at what point do you think they would mention VH1 VJ Rachel Perry?
Well, if there, I gotta believe. Well, first off, if you were the one who were responsible for bringing the plane down,
yes.
If you turned yourself into a bomb or something like that, or ripped open a safety door at altitude and threw people out or something, I gotta believe you'd get some ink.
That makes sense.
And
yeah,
if I was down in Bloody Marys and pulled an Ingve Malmsteen, just started unleashing the fury on the plane,
I didn't know what that meant to do an Ingve Malmsteen.
You've never pulled an Ingve Malmsteen?
No, never. I don't think. Maybe I have.
One of the greatest Canadian black belt hockey players ever.
You don't know?
Ever strap on the Bowers. Yeah, you pull an Ingve Malmsteen. Sure. What is an Yngwie Malmsteen?
I was raised right. I don't do that sort of thing.
He's a guitarist, and he infamously... We should try and get the audio for it, actually. I know it's floating out there somewhere. He's this guitarist who... I think he got drunk on a plane, and he started screaming.
Oh, really?
And he was like... I'm going to unleash the effing fury!
Wow.
Yeah, but somebody recorded it.
Wow.
And it's somewhere, but yeah.
Did he...
Lots of people go nuts on planes. Lots of celebrities love to go nuts on planes, don't they?
Yeah. I just, if I could get drunk, I would go nuts on a plane. I'm going to have to start packing my own flask. it was a tough flight when I heard them announce over the PA before they let everyone on the plane that things were a little tight in the lunch department. It was a full flight, so people may want to go out and grab something and bring it onto the plane. They really said that. That was sad. The other thing I was thinking about was first class. I had a first class ticket, and they always do that thing where they go, first class ticket holders will be able to pre-board at this. So you get to board first. This is an honor. This is a thrill. You get to sit there not getting booze for an extra 35 minutes while people bang you in the shin with the Samsonite and give you the stink eye as they walk into the corral. That what an honor. So let me get this straight. Your flight from L.A. to New York is 5.5 hours, but for me it's 6 hours and 20 minutes because that's how long I've been on the plane. You get to get on first? What a thrill. This is exciting. I've never seen the inside of an airplane. And by the way, is my ass not going to be in this seat for the next 6 hours? Because it doesn't need to be there for 6.5 hours.
Don't you just love to be sitting there, though, while you keep your head down and pretend you don't care, and then other people have to walk by you? I'm sorry. Oh, you're not in first class. I'm sorry.
That's a nice novel. That's a novel feeling for about 8 or 10 passengers. But keep in mind, there may be 200 of those people that have to pass you. 200 people have to get their luggage settled up there. Then there's the guy who comes in late. I mean, you're just sitting there. My thing is first class, I want to be the last guy on the plane. I want to be sitting at that bar drinking my Bloody Mary and have a guy come over. And Mr. Carolla, plane's leaving. Could you please get... Oh, okay. And I just go get on the plane. All right. The king has arrived. We may depart. That's the way I'd like to do it. You should be the last person on the
plane. You
should
be allowed to show up about 90 seconds. You should be able to show up at the airport 90 seconds before the flight departs.
You're not eating. You're not drinking. They're not doing anything for you that 30 minutes you have to sit on the plane. And then you just sit there and watch people file past you who are angry at you.
Yeah, so you haven't hit that level of celebrity yet. Because there's a level of celebrity at airports that they will just walk you through.
Have had that. I have had that, but it was my agent sort of like running interference or something.
You got to have someone doing that for you.
Yeah, but still, you're on the plane, and now what? You're just waiting for everyone to fill up.
No, but they bring you on after. They will walk you through security. Oh, I guess you haven't had that
yet. No, I did do that once. Or maybe I was late or something.
But do you feel like a jackass if you tell somebody, like, look, I'm famous?
No, I would never. I would never do that.
Can you get me the special?
No, I would never do that. No, that would be weird.
I like the, I do it myself. I've never sat first class. I'm a regular Joe.
Well, you do know. Mo Damashek's my mom, and she says, well, they can read the note that's pinned to your jacket, can't they?
It seems to me, you know, you walk in, you say, I've banged the people in first class, and I get angry at them for being in my way. Excuse me, Your Highness. I'm trying to get to my working class seat.
Yeah, people are angry. Yeah, you're Bruce Springsteen, and we're the Queen of Sheba, and somehow we need to be punished. That's basically how it works. The other thing that always drives me nuts about the airplane is, wow, did my mic just go up a lot, or is that me? The other thing that drives me insane is there's 15 channels on the radio. Now, this is one of these things where I just feel like my lot in life is just to go to businesses and criticize what they do and shame them into changing. I've been yelling about this for about 10 years, which is there's 14 channels on the radio that's plugged into the armrest, right? You got country and you got some rap and you got some show tunes. They try to mix it up. There's always one. There's one that's classical. There's really only one you can sleep to, which is the classical one. But every time they do the classical, when you tune in, you know, there's that part, it's an hour into the flight, maybe you have had a cocktail, you're just going to lean back in your chair and try to get some sleep. You're skimming around looking for something because there's a baby crying behind you or people talking, you want to drown out the sound. You go to the classical one, you're right in the middle of something. Okay, all right, I'm just going to... And then it stops, and it's like... That was Pachelbel's Canon in D flat major. The London Philharmonic recorded that in a Cleveland hall conducted by Franz Mandel. And then it's like, I'm Judy Judachu. I'll be your host for the next. Would you shut up, bitch? I'm trying to sleep. I'm trying to sleep. You're cutting in every 5 minutes with a 20 minute soliloquy about what was just played. Not one station. So just dig this. There is not one station on any airline that's just dedicated to people who want to sleep. Now, here's the deal. They're not running commercial radio. They make all these stations up. This chick is a DJ for U.S. Airlines. There's no such radio station. They pre-record all this stuff. There's 14 stations, and none of them are dedicated to anyone who wants to sleep. Now, I would argue... that the number one thing that people say they want to do on a 5-hour-plus flight is probably get a couple hours of shut-eye somewhere in there. And it behooves the airline, because if you have passengers that are sleeping, that's just one less push on the chime, you know, that's one less person in line to the bathroom, that's, I need a blanket, could you get me another drink? Especially in first class, if you start an airline, you would want your passengers to sleep all the way through.
Nitrous.
Every flight. You pump nitrous into the cabin. I mean,
should be optional, pulling down the thing and getting your own.
Hit off the nitrous.
Yeah.
Well, just think about it. If you had an airline and everyone just fell asleep the second they got on the plane, and then you just woke them up right when you landed, you would save millions of dollars. You could cut back on staff. You wouldn't need to do all the blankets. And there's always the pain in the ass person that wants a different headset and all that stuff. So there's 14 stations sleeping, especially some of these flights that are just, you got the red eye to New York. The red eye to New York, they give you a blanket and shut the lights. They essentially, the flight attendants essentially go home at a certain point. It's like, well, okay, it's 12:30 at night. We're going to be flying till 3:30 in the morning. Here's a blanket. Here's a pillow. We're going to kill the lights, and we're going to be in the next room. Just go to bed. But yet, not one radio station to accommodate you. Not one. On any airline ever, and there's 14, and they get to make them up. How about just making the Babbling Brook? How about just that one that just has the Babbling Brook? Or how about the one that just has the classical songs just dedicated to, and no talk and no chatter, no nothing, just sleep? Why not? Why do I have to think of this? It drives me insane. And I've told people at the airlines many times, no takers, nobody. Nobody's going to listen. And then you get the crazy techno music, and then you get the country and the Western, and then it's more DJs cutting in between. 14 that can't do one. What is that?
DJs. We should just do away with them.
I say we get robots to replace them. My point is what are they thinking? Is there a plan? And then there's this thing, too, where everyone goes, there's this idiot who always jumps in about minute 15, am I right? Well, they must know what they're doing. Oh, shut up. They must know what they're doing means, A, you're not listening to me, and B, you have nothing to contribute, and C, you'd like me to shut up. I can't tell you all the times I've been in the middle of my rant. So, they must know what they're doing. Anyway, let's keep moving. Let's move it. They must know what they're doing is sort of the equivalent to move it along. I've had an ass full. I don't fly. I don't care. Oh, I've heard this one before. My wife will jump in before I get started. I'll go, what's the deal with... they must know what they're doing. I haven't even started yet. They know.
Listen, though. You know, if you kill this, though, now you're taking a job away. It's the same thing as the traffic people. The people... Traffic, ancillary to our lives. Unnecessary. But, you know, you're taking away the dream of a broadcaster going on to getting the sweet U.S. Air gig.
Yeah, first the traffic lady.
DJ gig.
Right.
First you get on the traffic lady. Now someone at American Airlines is going to come and...
If somebody is listening from one of these airlines, could you please dedicate one of the 14 or 15 stations that you custom make, that you pre-record? Could you please do one for the lion's share of people who would like to sleep on the plane? Don't do it for them. Do it for you. do it for you.
Hey, right. Speaking of which, you want to relax a little bit. I could do without the comedy routine from the stewardess, too. Enough's enough.
Believe me.
I like that.
Believe
me. I like a pilot with a sense of humor.
Well, the pilot will, but it's usually the gay flight attendant that'll give it to you good on Southwest.
They have these little jingles they sing now. Yeah. All right. Hilarious stuff.
You'll be glad to know that the entire crew was based out of Pittsburgh.
Oh.
And they're all wearing Steelers, black and gold, and actually announced Go Steelers.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
now
well,
that
that's
I can
all right.
live with.
Yeah. I figured you might. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Dave is going to tell us about his journey. He's got a list for us. Comedian Dana Gould coming on. Many, many things to get to today. Oh, another little Ask Kiss Rodeo a little later.
Another Ozzy movie
song.
Review.
Oh, Ozzy's doing a movie review. Oh, and he wants to throw a party at my house.
That's right.
Got to work that out. All right. All that after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Yes, he is. Phone number, 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Jonathan? Jonathan, you're from Seattle?
From Seattle.
How say you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. I say...
Good.
I say
Rachel,
nay.
What's up? Dan, what's going on?
They're all good. It's
fine. Dan. That's fine. Close enough.
All right. Big Seahawks fan?
Big Seahawks fan.
Yeah. It's exciting. Exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, they look good. You know, it was one of these things where after the Steelers dismantled the Denver
Broncos.
Team, the Broncos,
yeah.
Thank you. After they dismantled the Broncos, people were like, well, they're going to go into the Super Bowl heavy favorite. But then after seeing what Seattle did, now it's kind of like,
get this.
They both look good.
Let me ask you, did you notice this? Seattle, number one seed in the NFC.
Right.
All season long regarded as the best team, the class of that conference. The Steelers
right.
are 4-point favorites for the Super Bowl. Do you know
already.
This?
I think that'll move around. I think
well,
that'll
Pittsburgh
do it.
Got the experience. You know, what's this, the sixth time they've been there?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, Seattle, this is our first trip. I mean, I grew up here, and we never... I would say that 5 years ago, you asked me if Seahawks are going to be in the championship. You know, I would have said, you know, in my kid's time. I mean, mm-hmm. I never thought I'd ever see the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. So
yeah. I have to say this about Seattle. As much as Sheck isn't fond of their new uniforms, whenever they flash back to their old uniforms, you realize how god-awful the
really?
Old ones
yeah.
were.
You're partial to the new blue versus the silver hats.
I like the new blue because it's more green than it is blue. And when you look back, and they do that flashback, especially when they're in white, you know, oh, there's
Dave Craig.
There's
right.
Dave Craig and Jim Zorn circa 1978, and you see the
right.
blue face mask on the white helmet or whatever it is. It's
right.
kind of, it's
yeah,
tough.
Yeah, I mean, for the longest time, I thought, you know, the team was just not cursed, but just definitely in the downward spiral ever since Steve Largent left. And
Sure.
And Mike Holmgren came in here and cleaned things up. We made it, you know, a lot of good draft picks.
You know what? You know what's bad, by the way, when you lose that 5'11 slow white guy, and look out, the team's going to fall apart. That means you don't have a great team.
Can I play something for you real quick?
What do you got?
Here's Matt Hasselbeck right after the game.
Raising that NFC Championship trophy in front of our stadium, totally full. It's definitely a dream come true.
I like that attitude out mm-hmm. of Matt Hasselbeck. Listen, and Seattle fans, terrific. 30 years, you finally made it to the Super Bowl. A job well done. Let's mm-hmm. call it a season.
Yeah, pack it in.
You know? Congratulations, but the Steelers have work left to be done.
Is he the one married to the chick on The View, or is that
no.
the other Hasselbeck?
Yeah, that's his brother.
Yeah, my wife wanted to know which one it was because she's now found a rooting interest in professional football because someone has married somebody in The View.
And this is a positive? She's going to root for them if he is married or she'll root against?
She just wanted, I think she wanted to know what, she wanted some clues on what direction to root. And I said, yeah, I don't know, I think he is. And she announced he wasn't cute enough. And I said, well, there's nothing wrong with him and he's playing quarterback in the NFL. Yeah, but he's balding. All right, sweetie. First off, who'd you marry? And then secondly, wow. I kind of liked it because I have a full head of hair, which you'll want. I think what you want to do as a couple is you can be attracted to somebody, as we've discussed before. Just make sure it's the one that looks most like your partner. if you're watching The Bachelor and 25 chicks come parading on there, if you have a brunette who's short, don't pick the tall blonde. Your girl's going to be PO'd. But you women can do the same thing, too. Figure out what the guy's got or doesn't have and say that's what you like. There could be a great-looking guy, but his hair could be thinning. And if your man has a full head of hair, you can even stretch it a little bit. Like, he's too skinny. I like that gut you got.
Nice, yeah.
His ass doesn't have enough hair on it. His breath isn't bad enough. He doesn't seem like the type that would verbally abuse me.
Yeah, if you're into Clooney, so be it. But just justify it to your old man by saying, like, yeah, he reminds me of you. I mean, he's not as funny as you, but otherwise he's
right.
a lot like you.
Pick something, and it's not the blue eyes or the strong chin. It would have to be the full head of hair, or maybe it's your height. Find something. That's what all partners should do. Find something, as tough as it is. I think you could even do it with Big Tad. Find something that connects the person, even if it's a tenuous connection to him, and say that's what you like about that celebrity. I like his arches. Clooney's not flat-footed by any stretch. Have you seen him in high tops? He's awesome. Tad, that's what I like about you. That's what your feet remind me of him. That's right.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. So as we talked about on this show a couple of times, we were planning on doing a little segment called the Get to Know the Staff. Or the crew, or whatever the hell we called it. Rachel Perry did hers. Dave Damashek never got to his, ironically, because he was talking about other things so much that he never could actually get to his own story. But we thought it'd be interesting to find out what brought people here. How did they get here? What was their journey? So, Sheck, how say you?
Well, the Steelers won their first crown in my lifetime. Right. No. It's a sad tale through high school. You know, I went back upon graduating from high school and counted up all the conversations I'd had with women, and it came to a grand total. I said, outside of my sisters and mother, I said a grand total of 9 words to girls up and through my 18th birthday.
Now, let me ask why, because
square.
Yeah, I know you're Squaresville, but your mother, you had a good relationship with your mother. You still do.
Sure.
Because a lot of people's relationship with the opposite sex sort of mirrors.
Some might say too good.
Mirrors.
Some might say too good.
Yes, maybe he was being satisfied at home, perhaps.
Other girls couldn't get in. They felt intimidated by your mother.
The point is you had a good relationship with your mother, and then I also find that most, at least men's relationships with women in high school and junior high relies on the man's self-esteem. If he feels good about himself, if he thinks he's attractive, if he thinks he's the cat's pajamas, then is it the cat's pajamas or the cat's meow?
I think both work.
Cats have pajamas and meows? Doesn't seem fair. Seems like we ought to give it to the dog. Dog's pajamas, cat's meow. If you feel good about yourself, then it feels like you should do well with women. What happened?
Well, first of all, I was the height that I am now. I'm about 5'11", 6 foot, and I weighed 128 pounds. So that didn't work out. And I had Jimmy Connors' haircut. The Jimmy Connors' haircut. And for
What's
some
that?
Reason, I don't know, the bowl cut.
The bowl cut. Yeah,
Dorothy Hamill. I had sort of a Dorothy Hamill hairdo. I was about 18, 19.
Did your mom cut your hair?
So? And somehow, I don't know how it's possible, but my nose was way bigger. Well, I haven't surgically repaired it or anything. Somehow, if you saw me then, my nose was gargantuan.
Right.
So the ladies had no use for it.
It was the same size carrot on a much smaller snowman.
I see. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, and for some reason, the high school ladies, they didn't care that I knew every player on the Pittsburgh Penguins roster. They were not intrigued by this at all.
They weren't members of Franco's army back then?
Yeah, you would have thought, right?
But you would have thought.
Off I went to Indiana University to study at the knee of Coach Knight.
You did well in college, in high school. You were a good student, right? Pretty good?
Adequate. No.
Adequate. You did okay on the SATs and all that kind of stuff. And then you went off. Why Indiana? It seems a strange place to go from Pittsburgh.
It was strange. You know, everybody else going to these Eastern Seaboard schools, these private schools. I got in to Indiana. I traveled off there at my mother's behest. She said, I understand it's a beautiful campus. We'll go. We drove through cornfields, through Iowa and through Ohio and into the cornfields.
So you
drove
to Indiana.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, it seemed miserable. And then, like an oasis, a 70-degree spring day, sun shining down, co-eds running here, running there, unchecked. The foxes ran free, untamed.
Untamed foxes.
And at that point, I knew where I belonged. And then I also realized, you know, Coach Knight, the right. life lessons. It's not just about basketball.
No,
he doesn't just prepare young men for work on the hardwood, but mm-hmm. also for life.
And this is what
he taught me. Although I tried out for the team, didn't catch on. But anyway,
wow, I can't believe it.
And you know, I made some hay at mm-hmm. Indiana University, and then off I went to the Windy City.
Now you graduated in 4 years.
I did. I went back four and a half years.
Four and a half years. And what was your major?
Babes.
Yeah. But what? What was their major?
Choreography.
What was your major, please?
My major was journalism.
Journalism.
Yes, the craft of words.
All right.
I love words. I'm a wordsmith.
Yeah, but it chose you. You didn't choose it.
That's right.
And they taught you to be unbiased in your reporting.
That's right. Correct?
All right. So then you graduate and you have your journalism major head to the Windy City. Not back to Pittsburgh. You head to Chicago.
I toyed with the idea of Pittsburgh, PA, but I decided, listen. A young man. Let's really live it up, you know. Mm-hmm. The Mecca of the Midwest, Chicago.
Did you know somebody there? Did you have some connections?
That's right. Chums, got together with some chums, you mm-hmm. know, and you know, really extended the college experience for an extra few years. Yeah.
Right.
A lot of booze, you know, a lot of watching
it's a good place. It's a good city if you're young and you're single. And you found some gainful employment.
Still no women, but
you had a good time over there.
Yeah, terrific time.
And then what got you out of there and brought you to L.A.?
Well, I was doing the sales. You know, I was doing sales for benefits, corporate benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And that was no good. That was miserable. I saw amazing 5 years of my life, and I couldn't tell you one thing about it. What happened in that 5 years?
You worked there for 5 years.
That's right.
So now you're, what, 28?
28, going to a lot of Cubs games, you know, but the misery, just misery. And, you know, talking to people, they said, why don't you go out to L.A.? You know, give a shot to the writing, you know.
Right.
I said, well, I have no training with the right. comedy business, with any of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we need.
I think I'm done.
Well,
I don't know if there's some confusion, but I didn't come in here this morning to be insulted.
That was an attack. Take that back, Mike. All right, so let's wrap it up. Give us the cliff notes. Now you're out in LA.
Some people said, go out there. I said, well, I don't have any training. They said, who has any training to do this nonsense?
Right.
What are you doing? There's some degree you get to do this? I said, yeah, fair point.
So you
I
came
went out.
Out,
and then I met a man named Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, how did you meet Jimmy? Oh, you met him through our
Well, I went over.
Friends.
I met his cousin Sal. You mm-hmm. know, and started watching the football with him.
Right.
And Sal at the time was living in Kimmel's basement.
That's right.
So I went over to watch football, and I met Kimmel, and I cracked wise, and he liked the cut of my jib. And there was another man there too, named Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Who I would watch football with. There would be four people sitting in a room on NFL Sundays. For an entire football season, there were four people in the whole room.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla did not say a word to me for the entire football season.
Well, I have my 1 year probation. Which is to say, once you connect with somebody and they get their fangs into you, that's about it. And then they're there for life. You have to lend them money. You have to bail them out. You have to let them cry on your shoulder. All this kind of stuff. I just go through a thorough screening process before I do that. I'm like the NSA or the CIA. I can't afford to have some guy with a bad rap sheet make it through my screening process in 2 weeks and turns out I got a bad apple and now I'm going to have trouble extricating him from my life.
I like the theory. I like the practice, but it's very uncomfortable when you Adam Carolla walks into the room. You're watching football, and he says, "Hey Jimmy, hey Sal," looks at you out of the corner of his eye, and sits down.
I have a similar story. Adam actually didn't talk to me about it a year and a half before we started. We just started talking 3 weeks ago.
I tacked on 6 months for you because after examining the data, after 12 months, it's still the computer just had a big question mark. So I decided to tack on 6 months. Yes, Rachel.
For me, Adam, we met that day. I met you the same day at Jimmy's house, and we went in and did some like pre-reading for the show. you know, had to talk during the reading for the show, and then afterwards...
A vigorous lovemaking session ensued.
Right. Yes.
You two, you mean? That's yes. What you two did after the after we did that?
Yes.
Oh. Because Adam just turned around and walked out, and then walked over to the sink, the farthest part of the kitchen away from me. I think he was looking for deli meats or something, and said, that was good, Rachel.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I'm demonstrative.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about me. I have low self-esteem.
Not looking at
I don't
you.
Assume anyone wants to talk to me. That's really where it comes from. It's not, I'm too good to talk to you. I'm always like, well, why should he care
that.
If I talk to them? You see where I
know.
Come from. All right. So, then Sheck hooked up with Kimmel and then me and then our year probation went by in the blink of an eye. And now we're thick as thieves.
So
I
a
sit,
whole year
right.
He didn't talk to you.
That's right.
I wonder if we could use Dave's story on the airplanes to make people go to sleep.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
All right, like Brusca.
Ding, ding.
So it begins. All I'll say is this, Brusca, war is hell.
Yeah, and it's on. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. We're going to play some Ask Kiss Rodeo with Big Tad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
this
man.
Will be atrocious.
You're going to break that horse's back. We'll be right back after this.
Are listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAM. We're going to play a game that is sweeping the nation called Ask Kiss Rodeo. I, of course, being a C-list celebrity, enjoy getting my ass kissed. And you can do that during our one-year probationary period as well. Mm-hmm. But it might speed it up, might shave it down to 9-10 months. We do a little ass kiss rodeo. You kiss my ass, you try to stay on. It's not easy. Some go, some blow, as they say in drag racing. All right. Don't know what that was. But, Mike, do you have an example of a bad ass kiss rodeo?
Why do we have to? Why? What are you?
I'm going with the island of Kona.
Kona, they have the coffee there. Do you like coffee? You have the.
I don't like coffee. I like tea.
Really? I love tea. My family's from England, so I drink tea all the time.
I'm really more of a postum man.
I don't. Yeah.
Oh, see, threw her.
Yeah,
threw
you know her. When I think about it, I was this close to calling you out. What do you mean you don't like coffee?
I know,
you
see?
You freaking liar. Well, you love coffee.
That's why I have to play Ask Kiss Rodeo, because it will go against certain people's grain.
It's not in her blood.
It's not.
She doesn't have the gift.
Although she did recover in our second round, but still was tossed off. And that was not only you being tossed off the bull. That's the one where the bull turns on you. That's two things. That's where your arm gets caught in the rope thing and you get thrown around like a rag doll for 10 minutes. And then the bull turns on you and tries to gore you. That's what that was. No rodeo clown good enough to keep that bull off you. All right. What else you got?
We got the good example.
The champ right now.
Mike Lynch. Yeah. First thing, I'm an atheist. And I'm always looking for a new religion. Judaism seems to be the front runner so far for me. I like it.
Well, yeah, you should be a Jew. It's a smart, intelligent decision, I think, and they're lucky to have you.
The Jews would be lucky to have me. By the way, rodeo clown, is there a more dangerous job that gets less respect? Rodeo clown is the hairiest, ballsiest job in the world. It really is. I mean, people talk about there's NFL players out risking life and limb, or firefighters or whatever. Nothing worse than rodeo clown. You would be a firefighter for a year rather than be a rodeo clown for one day or even 10 minutes. But yet, because they wear stupid outfit, everyone makes fun of them and they're just a joke. But their job is to, you see that 3,000-pound bull who's trying to kill the 150-pound white guy? Get in front of him and distract him. That's your gig. All right, now, time to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo with Big Tad. Big Tad?
Hello, Mr. Carolla.
How say you?
I say I'm well.
Okay.
I say yay.
Are you in the saddle?
Yes.
Are you ready to go?
My stirrers are ready. I'm ready to go.
All right, let's get started.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Watching the games yesterday, like the Seahawks.
Seahawks, a very good team.
Like their chances.
They're a very good chance. Are you going for them?
That was a question.
What? I can't ask a question on that? Can I try again?
Hold on.
That was the worst I've ever seen.
Wow.
Not surprising, but that was
surprising. No, I,
You're asking a question.
You're going for them, and I'm saying, well, they are a very good team, and you should go
well,
for them.
Would you ask a king a question?
Yes.
No, I wouldn't.
The correct response is, I like those. A says, I like those Seahawks. The correct response is, well, they're the best. No wonder. You go hand in hand, right?
May I try again?
It's tough.
We got to go to break.
That's a dangerous precedent. Yeah, I don't want to see you get hurt, kid.
It dislocates something. You're on a table right now.
Rachel, I know mine was the worst right now. So I would like to try again.
All right.
I'm just trying to keep you down because I was the worst up until now.
Well, the idea that you ask a question, especially, is it's such a layup. I'm impressed with Seattle. I like that team. All you got to do is say they're my number one team. I enjoy them. Uniforms are beautiful. Oh, do you like them?
I'm sorry, Mr. Carolla. I was nervous. I was nervous because I'm talking to you right now, and
off with his head. You can find an axe big enough. Off with his head. We will take ourselves a break. We're coming back. We got news. We got sports. We have a lot of show
Casey
coming up.
Casey Wasserman's coming in from The Avengers. Ozzy's movie review.
Oh, Ozzy's movie
Dana
review.
Dana Gould from The Simpsons coming.
All that after this.
This is Doug Savant from Desperate Housewives. Give Adam a call at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you should. Speaking of giving me a call, that Ask Kiss Rodeo was over in such record time that we're going to play a little bit more of it before we get into the news and the sports. Richard is calling in from Vegas. Richard?
Oh. Hey.
What's happening, my brother?
What's going on, man?
You want to play some Ask Kiss Rodeo?
You're damn right I do.
You think you can hang on?
I'll try.
Big Tad's bull did not fully get out of the gate before he fell off. He actually landed in the pen that the gate was in, that the bull had resided in.
Well, I think I'm a couple tads above retarded, so...
Okay.
Okay.
A couple tads.
All right. Let's play some Ask Kiss Rodeo.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Yeah, I was thinking a lot about the topic of gay marriage, you know? Yeah, just giving some thought to gay marriage.
Thank you! Thank you.
A new record.
What happened?
Well, I decided instead of declare a one side or another, let them jump in. Throw them a curveball.
I have to say, listen, far be it from me to put you down, but... Mm.
You think I should declare something?
That was a very tall order out of the gate.
Some bulls, that was the Widowmaker. You know, some of them are legendary for their toughness. I'll try again. Richard?
Yeah.
I feel bad for you, but here's the whole thing about Ask Kiss. The whole thing about Ask Kiss. Is that dog barking?
Yeah, I'm at work. I run a dog kennel.
Oh, that's your dog. I thought that was in the Ask Kiss Rodeo. You run a kennel?
Yeah.
Wow. And what do you do? Are you going to destroy any dogs today?
No, I just watch them for 12 hours at a time.
I would like to run a kennel where, like, rich people drop their dog off, like at the Doggy Dude Ranch or something. They go away to Aspen for the weekend, and then they come back, and they're like, where's Mr. Mittens? Oh, we destroyed him. What happened? We have a 48-hour policy. You owe me $211, by the way, plus food. Well, actually, we didn't feed him on Sunday because we destroyed him that day. Just screw with someone and say we had to destroy your dog. And by the way, destroy is a weird term. Let's just figure it out. We don't, you know, when you send a guy to the gas chamber, you don't destroy him. Destroy him sounds like you put an M80 in his ass. That's what destroy sounds like to me. And it's weird that you destroy animals, but you put people down or you have them executed. Say executed.
A little too strong a word. Yeah, you destroy them or you rescue them.
Right. How do you guys, they're both a little too strong. You don't do any rescuing, and destroying sounds like, well, how do you destroy your stray dogs? Well, we hook a chain to each paw. Then we get four tractors. You don't want to just give them an injection? Well, we could. Some have suggested that. Destroy the dog. All right. We put them in one of those car crushers, like a 70s movie. What happened to the 70s movies where the guy got locked in the trunk of the Impala and it was due for the crusher? Big magnet picked it up.
Yeah.
All right. You want to play a little more, Richard?
Let's do it.
Oh, you work at a Vegas kennel. I could only imagine what that smells like in July and August. 170 degrees outside. Fecal matter running free like the foxes on the campus of Indiana University. Richard, you ready to go?
Let's do it.
I'm a Democrat by way of birth, but I sometimes think I may go Republican. I think I may switch over to Republican.
Either party would be fascinated to have you with them.
Fascinated? Fascinated. Yeah, I don't want to be like some curiosity, like a snake with two heads. I would like them to be honored to have me. I like them to be overjoyed to have me, but fascinated.
Yeah, bad word choice. Unfortunate.
Sorry, Richard.
All right.
It was a nice try.
Hey, no, you know what? It just shows you how hard it is.
Everything you do is genius.
Thank you. Yeah. And again, do that gag where you had the dog destroyed when it was just dropped off for the weekend.
That's for you, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you. It'll be fun. And the person will be so relieved when you say you're kidding, they'll give you a nice tip. Jeff, how say you?
Hello?
Hello?
This is Brett.
Oh, Brett.
Yeah.
All right, Brett.
Did you
want to play Ask This Rodeo?
Yes, I do.
All right. You ready to get started?
Yeah, whenever you are.
Ooh, I like that. Already. Already.
Woo-hoo!
I'm a Coke man, but sometimes I start thinking about drinking a Pepsi. I really do. I like the Pepsi flavor.
That's a great idea. Anything you think is just genius.
Is there another dog barking in the back? Are you calling from a kennel?
No.
I swear I heard a dog again. Do you have a dog barking?
No, there's no dog barking.
I must be insane.
There is a dog barking, Adam. You absolutely heard a dog.
Thank you, Mike. Do you see how that works?
Dang it.
We're always playing Ask Kiss Rodeo. You're never not playing Ask Kiss Rodeo. I was trying to throw a curveball at him. And he questioned me. No, there's no. What do you mean? That's not yes and.
Correct, right.
Yes, I'm in a sea of dogs. I'm a dog walker. I am currently in a dog park in Dogtown. All right. Well, it was a nice try. And it really, really lets you know who the pros are in Ask Kiss Rodeo. Mike still wearing the big belt buckle and wearing it proudly. All right, let's get started with the news and the beautiful Rachel Perry.
Wow, in the headlines this morning, Ford is announcing layoffs today of approximately 25,000 people in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. They're closing some plants as part of a massive restructuring program.
Do you really have to lay off people in Mexico? Isn't that why they're in Mexico? They are going to be relieved when they find out they're laid off. I wouldn't even send them a note to Mexico. I'd just tell them business as usual. We're not going to wake you up from your nap and sober you up to tell you you've been let go.
No.
Okay. Yeah, Canada, you have to do that. United States, but Mexico, leave them alone.
Mutiny. I love it when all these new old-timey things start happening. Mm-hmm. Like there was pirates attacking a cruise ship before.
Yeah,
remember
that
a couple months ago? Now there's mutiny happening.
On a cruise ship?
On a cruise ship.
Wow.
Several passengers on the Queen Mary II cruise ship traveling around Latin America have threatened not to get off at the next port in Rio because the ship missed its last three island stops due to engine problems.
Wow. I'll tell you, that is a scary ragtag group, the folks that man those ships, a sort of international crew of felons and sex addicts. Crazy guys from like parts of the Netherlands you've never heard of. They're 23, they're like bisexual, and they just bang everything that gets on board. It's a crazy life. And each other, by the way. They all go at each other. I'm looking forward to that Rosie O'Donnell dyke barge thing that's coming out soon. She has that whole lesbian cruise thing. It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
All right.
So did they have a mutiny or are they just threatening?
No, they're threatening because, I mean, have you ever been on a cruise before?
I did. Me and Jimmy went on one many years
ago. That's very romantic.
It was awesome. We had to bring the ladies, so they sort of got in the way, but we could still find us time on the Lido deck late. Yeah, I was miserable.
Yeah.
Little cabin, sort of crappy food.
But if you've ever
Jimmy stood at the front of the ship and announced, I'm queen of the world.
Well, I saved him. He wanted to jump, and that's where it all started.
Here's something for Tad. Robert Cole, a 36-year-old inmate in an Australian jail, escaped from the hospital wing through a 6-inch hole chiseled by a window frame. He lost 31 pounds by taking laxatives, taking his weight down to 123 pounds, mm-hmm. so he could get through the hole.
Well, the 6-inch hole must have been a slot, not a round hole, because 6 inches round is about the size of a lid of a coffee can. Marginally yeah. bigger than that, but maybe 20% bigger than that. I mean, it is this. This is great radio. I'm holding my hands up. This is 6 inches around, everybody. You cannot make it through that hole, but if it was a slot, maybe you could slither through sideways.
So 6 inches long is then how long?
6 inches, 6 inches wide, but may have been 2 feet long. That's what I'm saying.
For the hand gesture.
Oh, you want to see the hand? About yay.
That's about yay.
You don't hear yay anymore either.
About yay big.
That went the way of the dodo.
About yay big. Yeah, the guy was on the lam for 3 days. On the lam. Don't hear about people being on the lam. And
I think there's a sexual connotation that people don't appreciate about being on the lam. At least that's what I think of.
Oh, I like that.
He's on the lam for 3 days. Well, please, give that lam a break. It must be chafing.
so he was missing for 3 days despite disguising himself by drawing a beard on his face with a pen.
That's nice.
And hanging out in the shopping mall where he was recaptured.
He looks like the evil Hulk Hogan. That's awesome. What happened with that, by the way? Who told Hulk Hogan you should draw a beard on
magic
your face
marker
with a magic marker? No, now you're the bad Hulkster. Well, shouldn't I just glue on a beard? No, draw it on. No time for that. Here's
like
a piece
that.
Of charcoal. There you go.
Oh, right. I like a good drawn-on beard. You guys must have heard about this over the weekend. A woman got a 30-day sentence in jail for leaving her 3 kids all under the age of 4 at home alone while she went to a taping of the Springer Show in Chicago.
Definitely not a Jew. We played this in 6 o'clock hour. Yeah, that's nice. That's a good mom.
Thanks, Mom. And this weekend, Miss Oklahoma was crowned the new Miss America. This is what happened.
Miss America 2006 is... Miss Oklahoma, Jennifer Berry. Miss America 2006, the runway is yours.
Is this on TV anymore?
The pageantry. It's on CMT. It moved. There's mm-hmm. there's this whole big thing that happened. It moved for the first time from Atlantic City to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And it went from whatever station played it to CMT now.
Mm-hmm.
And James Denton of Desperate Housewives fame was... hosting.
Right.
Of course, it was my birthday weekend, so I was wasted this weekend. And
sure.
I was watching TV, and I saw some pageant of women. I got very confused, because who's the guy that narrowly missed winning Dancing with the Stars last season? The guy from Jerry Seinfeld?
Jay Peterman.
Jay Peterman was hosting some sort of pageant, and they were announcing the women coming out, and 39-year-old. I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, Mrs. America?
It was the Mrs. America pageant.
Miss Hysterectomy?
I didn't realize that they had that. It was,
yeah. Oh, they have that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they doing? Hey, you know, earlier we were talking about that guy that freaked out on the plane, I think he's Swedish.
Yngwie Malmsteen.
Yngwie Malmsteen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he freaked out when, this is, just so people out there listening don't think that this is new news. It was just because we were talking a little while ago about being on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted you to hear that because you hadn't heard it before. So this
Let's
is a little treat, actually, for everyone. It's always entertaining what happened to Yngwie Malmsteen after a flight attendant spilled water on him.
I don't f***ing deserve this. I paid for a first-class ticket. I don't need a f***ing to come up to me and do that See you in Tokyo, bitch.
Wow.
Ask a that. New job. Love. New love. You release the f***ing fury. You release the f***ing fury. Get him out.
Wow. The fury of the 135-pound albino rocker guy. Wow. And... What do they have? These planes are mic'd up now. What goes on?
Somebody recorded. I don't know how. I don't know exactly what. It's lore now. Really?
Yeah. You cannot. Here's the thing. You cannot do anything anymore without someone capturing it on a cellular phone or digital this or recording that or beta cam. There's nothing that will go on anymore without somebody having some footage of it. So the message is: freak out in the privacy of your own home. You can no longer do it in public. It's done. There'll be some camera that's in an intersection that'll see you do it. There'll be some guy with a cell phone that's got a camera and a recorder in it. Somehow, you'll not be able to freak out. I mean, do you think you could go into a terminal of an airport and freak out for 5 minutes without 30 people filming you anymore?
I think you should do it anyway. I think you should do it because.
I'm going to do it. That's right.
Anyway, I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Reporting live from Cloud 9, the Super Bowl matchup is now set. Pittsburgh Steelers and the Seattle Seahawks in Detroit Motor City, Super Bowl 40. Yesterday in Denver, Steelers win third straight road game, waxing the Broncos 34-17. They're the first sixth seed ever to get to the Super Bowl. Seattle, meantime, number one seeded Seahawks, laid the pipe to the pesky Carolina Panthers 34-14. The early line Steelers giving four. NBA, Kobe Bryant goes for 81 points.
Wow.
Second highest single game total, trailing only Wilt Chamberlain's 100 back in 1962. There's no film of that game, no video of that game. I don't even know that it happened.
No, see, if he did in an airport terminal, we would have footage of it. But
correct.
Here's the thing, too. Wilt, God bless him, he was 9 feet tall and playing against 5'10 Jews in shiny shorts with belts. You know what I mean? He was playing against Bob Cousy and his retarded cousin, and he would just tower over them and throw him the ball and they drop it in the hoop. Kobe is doing it against other magnificent athletes.
Right.
I mean, I don't know a tougher sport to just dominate in than the hoops. Anyone who's played it.
Particularly when at least half the guys are taller than you are. Yes?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lakers beat Toronto. Also, Seattle over Phoenix in double overtime. Clips win. Sacramento and Portland lose. College ball over the last couple of days. Three teams entered the weekend undefeated. They come out of the other side with records blemished.
Mm.
Duke, Florida, and Pitt all go down. Stick with the loser theme in the Pac-10, UCLA, Cal, Oregon, Arizona State, and Wazoo dropped their games. Now, back to the football. Exciting times. I was, of course, in Denver celebrating a long-awaited trip to the Super Bowl.
What did that sound like?
Well, I'll get into that later. But I want to talk first about the Seattle situation.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting. You know, a lot of people were picking Carolina, even though they were the underdogs. A lot of people thought they were going to get over the hump. But they did not. The Seattle Seahawks on their way to their first Super Bowl in 30 years. But Deshaun Foster spoke on behalf of his Panthers teammates. You know, they came up a little short, but
yeah.
It sounds like they're ready to go for '06 already. Listen to this.
Well, now, buddy boy, I got a puss on. We gave our best, but today it wasn't good enough. We're down, but not out. Tomorrow's a new day. We may have lost the battle, but we're going to win the war.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I hadn't heard Deshaun speak before.
He played at UCLA. You might remember them from
there. I'd seen some press conferences, but it's tough when you're seeing the image of the guy. I've never heard him on the radio, just a voice isolated.
It sounds different.
Yeah, you picture a different guy.
And we'll talk more football as we go along, but also wanted to talk about Antonio Davis, the Knickerbockers forward, who, of course, jumped into the stands last week to defend his wife. You know, a lot of he said, she said, who was responsible for the whole thing.
Heck yeah.
Antonio Davis, the NBA, you know, Commissioner David Stern.
Now, is he a forward?
Yes.
He's a power forward.
Big forward.
All right.
Antonio Davis, you know. David Stern gave him a 5-game suspension, but and the fan wants an apology. No such apology on its way. Keep waiting, says Antonio Davis. Listen to this.
The commission's spoken, and now it's my turn. Where I come from, you don't put your mitts on another fella's gal. That schnook was looking at her like he wanted to take a slow elevator to China with her.
Wow.
Yeah, so you can say, I mean, he was upset.
Obviously, yeah.
Right.
Wow, you know, it's so... That's why they call Deshaun Foster. They sound a lot alike. Maybe they grew up in the same region of the country or something.
Black,
I guess not
right?
My ear. I didn't get that. But anyway,
they're both black.
Well, you know,
sometimes people of the same sort of ethnicity or culture start to sound alike,
maybe.
And I think maybe that was it. But also, I think that's why they call radio theater the mind, because when you're watching these guys on TV, it just doesn't feel like this. It feels totally different when you isolate their voice.
That's interesting. But listen. Seattle, great season. You know, you've reached the Super Bowl. I think you should enjoy it at that. The Steelers favored by four.
What a day it was!
By the way, it's down to 3.5.
I don't care what the spread is. It doesn't make a difference to me. The important thing is the Steelers are back where they belong in the Super Bowl, and number seven willing, they shall reclaim their spot atop the football world in 2 weeks.
And all that talk about Patriots dynasty or San Francisco or Dallas, it'll all be out the window because they'll have five Super Bowl rings.
That's
unmatched.
Exactly right.
Yeah. All right. Wait, quickly, Jeff.
Yes, how are you gonna, hey, is this Adam?
Yes, you have some.
Adam, I thought I was, is that Dishman Adam? I thought I was talking to Mr. Damashek.
Yeah, well, you're gonna get him if I don't hang up on you.
Yeah, okay.
You got him, bub.
Hey, Dave, how's it going there, sir?
You have some trivia for Dave?
Of course.
Spit it out.
I'm an Eagles fan, but let me just get to it real quick. Dave, do you know the year that the, they say the terrible towel, they call it. What year was the terrible towel? What year did they start that?
I'm going to go with...
So you don't know.
Hold on. Jeff, just F off, would you? Just don't even answer it. Please, stop being... Let me just explain something. Jeff,
yes,
you know why you've gotten nowhere in your life? Because you're an a-hole.
Okay.
You understand? This is why you don't get laid. This is why you don't get ahead in life. This is why everyone hates you. This is why your family resents you. Just shut up and stop being an a-hole for 10 minutes and see if you get somewhere in your life. Could you please? Please try that. Everybody, please.
I was a damsel, a Damashek in distress, and Ace came to my rescue.
Well, he starts off by insulting me, and then he asks the trivia question of Damashek, and he doesn't let him spit out the answer. And I know this seems like tough love, Jeff, but I'm trying to help you.
I appreciate it.
All right. I really mean, a lot of guys have no idea that they're a-holes. They really don't. They do more damage by talking than they could ever do by shutting up. Just shut up. Stop it, everybody. Especially the fellas. They open their mouth, they put their foot in it, they get aggressive, and they wonder why they get fired from every job, and they wonder why they get dumped by every girlfriend, and they wonder why their life isn't going according to plan. You're an a-hole. That's why it's not going according to plan. The good news about being an a-hole, it's not like having cancer or spina bifida. You can stop tomorrow. Just shut up. That's all you have to do. Ask your question, let him answer it. What year do you say it was?
I say 1976.
76. Jeff, what year was it?
Okay, 76.
All right. Thank you. See how easy that was, Jeff?
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. We have our folk singers going to do a little custom song for us. Ozzy's going to do his movie review. Shut up, Breskin.
I didn't want to say one thing. John Madden called in. He's going to call us from his bus on his way.
Oh, Madden's calling in.
Yes.
All right. Well, why didn't you say something? We'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you should. Well, we got Ozzy in the wings waiting to do a movie review. None of you will understand. He'll be in here. Also, Josh Gardner, our folk singer, who was in here last week, is composed an original song for us that basically tells the man what he can do with his red arrows. Oh, Dana Gould from the Simpsons stand-up writer, producer, is going to be in here. Casey Wasserman is in here now. He is the owner of the LA Avengers. Casey, you seem way too young to own anything. You should own a big wheel.
Yeah, well, I got one of those, too.
What are the Avengers?
That is awesome, Rachel.
That's a great intro.
Yeah.
Way to make him feel at home.
Yeah, let me explain something.
I said introduce myself.
I'm not going to pick on you, Rachel, but here's what I want to say. People do this a lot where they go like, oh, you're in a band? What's it called? Oh, it's called the, I never heard of it. Or, oh, you have your CD? Is it out? I didn't know it came out. I didn't hear it came out. Oh, it's been out for a year. Oh, I didn't know that.
Sometimes
not knowing things can be almost as insulting as taking a jab at somebody. It really can be.
What show is it that you used to do? That's what I'm saying.
No, it is.
Kiss Rodeo.
It is. It is.
I'm just asking the question that maybe the listeners who are not as informed as yourselves. I feel like I play the role of the listener who doesn't know.
And well, we shall inform.
We shall inform. Okay, so L.A. Avengers have been around for how long?
This is our seventh season of playing football.
Seventh season. Oh. All right. So it's only been like a couple hundred months.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
And made up for it.
Yeah. Well done. And it seems to me, now here's the couple thoughts on the arena football. I don't think people took it too seriously at the beginning, but it seems to be gathering some momentum. And part of it is you're seeing guys from the Arena League end up in the NFL.
This is the 20th year of the Arena Football League, which most of the time blows people away. I think most people think that the Arena Football League started with the Avengers, which is fine by me, but not true. And look, clearly when Kurt Warner, an Arena Football quarterback, is MVP of the NFL, that changes people's perception of the players.
Mm-hmm.
But nearly 100% of our roster played major Division I college football, and that's pretty much standard across every AFL roster. And a lot of guys end up in... We've lost seven guys this year from our roster to NFL teams.
Tragedy.
Wow. Oh. I thought you were going to say to AIDS.
Oh.
But I don't know. When you say you lost seven guys, you prepare yourself for the worst, and it turns out they just went to the big show.
Gosh, I think they actually had a death on the field, not to bring up something.
Worse than Rachel Perry's comment a few moments ago?
An actual death.
John Bon Jovi owns one of these teams.
I don't want to bring up bad news, but I seem to remember
There
that.
You go.
And John Elway owns one of these teams.
There you go. Now you're heating up.
Look at that.
Yeah, now Jovi, as I know him, he owns the, New Jersey?
No, Philadelphia.
Oh, Philly he's a Soul. Philly guy.
Well, now he is.
Oh, okay.
Philly Soul.
The Soul. And what is that?
I knew that.
Soul is
so
a horrible name for a team.
So embarrassing when people don't know these things, where the teams are from with the...
Yeah. The Soul is... Soul is horrible because, you know, you think like soul, the guy's got a lot of soul, but it also means the sole of your foot, and it's also a white fish that nobody's interested in.
Sports teams' names have to end in S, unless you're the Sox. That's the only way you can't do it. True?
Yeah.
Kudos on Avengers.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so now how do you own a sports... How old are you?
31.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to kill my dad because I know there's something going on here. How and you've owned the team for how many years?
Since 1998, so
you had it from the first. You had it from the beginning.
We bought an expansion franchise,
right? And are you making money? Is it a profitable endeavor?
It's not, but most sports teams don't make money on a year-to-year basis, but they hopefully grow in value, and we continue to do that. So
right, so it's worth much more now than it was. If you don't mind, you don't have to tell me what it's worth now. But what does it cost to get a franchise in 1998?
About $5 million.
$5 million.
Wow.
Where do you get $5 million at the age of?
He was 14.
Yeah.
You sell a lot of newspapers.
A lot of grit. Lemonade.
Family money, right?
Yes.
Not that you couldn't do it on your own, but you were so young. I mean, really, 20-something years old. Oh my God.
What a dream. What a dream to have money, to be able to buy a team. That must be a thrill, huh?
Oh.
It was pretty exciting.
Grandfather's Lou Wasserman. That's basically.
Yeah, he's a big mogul. When I was 24, me and my dad went in on a camping stove. And that was considered a pretty big commitment. Well, what is $26 cut in half, Dad? I don't know. But I'm in. That's remember.
Now.
Yes.
Casey of the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of the Avengers. Let's cut to the chase. Adam Carolla, aside from his great on-air skills, happens to be, and this is no jive, a great long snapper of the football.
We know that firsthand at the Avengers, actually.
Yeah, because I went over there and we tried out for the Adam Carolla project.
Right.
Steven, our electrician, tried out as a kicker. He didn't make the cut, but I did okay in the long snapping department.
You did. Actually, Coach Winter, you know, was telling me that, you know, if we have an injury, you're his first call on that list of guys to fill in.
Really?
Yeah. You're being injured. I feel like you're being cute. I don't know. Maybe are you being sincere?
No, we've already lost two DJs to that this year.
Legitimately.
Yeah. They don't have the no-can rule in the Arena League, by the way. That's
meaning
how
what?
Rough and tumble it is. Meaning in high school, in college, and maybe even in pro, they do that thing where you can't have the 400-pound nose tackle destroy the long snapper who has his head between his legs because you can be injured. I mean, you can snap a guy's spinal column. They have that in Pop Warner. They have it in every other facet of football, but they don't seem to have it in the Arena League, which is something that was a deterrent for me. If I knew I wasn't going to get canned, I would definitely sign up. And also, you guys don't do much punting in that league. You do none, right?
Exactly, none.
But you do go for the kicks.
We kick a lot. We actually have a very good kicker. And
sign him up. Sign up, Adam.
I think you should come out. You know, our first game is Sunday, this weekend, so, you know, you got plenty of time to get ready.
Oh, well, that's right, at the Staples Center. Noon, everybody. You can get tickets at the box office, or how else can you get tickets? Ticketmaster?
LAAvengers.com, Ticketmaster. Come out to Staples Center on Sunday.
It's how many games? Is it a 16-game?
16-game season.
Season?
Yep.
The thing about it is again, if you're like me, when football season ends, there is, I hit some sort of weird emotional state where I just walk around in a funk with a cloud around my head. It's like, I imagine how it is, you know, when they say people live in Alaska and it's dark for 24 hours, how they start getting depressed because there's no sunshine, putting vitamin B into their, I feel that way when football ends. This could be my methadone.
I think
this could see me through.
I think it will absolutely serve as your methadone, or you can just come enjoy the games for what it is. And
I'm coming.
Okay, good.
I'm coming. And it starts now. You guys have moved it around a little bit over the years, but it starts during the bye week before the Super Bowl.
We did that last year, moved the season up actually another 2 weeks, and so we'll play the week of the bye, which is this week, and then we'll actually play one game on Super Bowl Sunday, but, you know, 6 hours before the Super Bowl, in the theory that people want to watch football on Super Bowl Sunday, not 17 hours of pregame.
Right.
So,
and
clever.
Clever.
And then we end in June in Las Vegas.
All right, well, I'm coming out on Sunday. Shaq, how say you?
I say yay. I don't have the skills to get it done on the gridiron, but you,
thank you,
Ace Carolla.
Thank you.
How say you,
yes,
to snapping in a game?
Kiss Radio.
It's awesome. It'll
be snap?
Awesome.
You'll snap in a game?
They got to get rid of the can rule.
Can they protect Adam?
We can protect you, Adam. We actually brought you a ball and a helmet so you can just show up on Sunday and just kind of walk right on the field.
Really? Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I guarantee he's more accurate snapper than your snapper now. I can guarantee. I'll bet it.
So
I'll
if you
put
have
your team up and I'll put whatever money I have.
If you have a ball and a helmet, you can just walk onto the field.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome. So if I'm wearing like boots and coveralls, but I have the ball and the helmet, I can just run out and start playing.
Well, long snappers are in high demand in the Arena Football League.
Oh, so these guys can finally start running out of that shotgun. All right, I want to thank Casey Wasserman for coming in here, the LA Avengers. Now you know, Staples Center this Sunday, also for the next 15 Sundays after that, yes?
Yep.
Thanks, Casey.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Owns a sports franchise at 24. We will take ourselves a little break. Ozzy's got a movie review coming up. We got Josh doing our folk singing. And
John Madden calling.
John Madden, yes. John Madden on the phone from the Madden Cruiser on the way to the Super Bowl. All that after this.
This is Kevin Nealon. Give Adam a call at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Thank you, Kevin. Stand-up writer, producer from The Simpsons, Dana Gould, is going to come in here. Ozzy has a movie review of Glory Road. I pronounce it like he did. Glory Road. He's going to be in here in a second. Also, our folk singer, Josh Gardner, composed a special song to help me with my fight against a man in the Red Arrow. But first, calling in from the road, from the Madden Cruiser, the great John Madden. John?
Yeah, Adam.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm just leaving the house now. Just to, you know, I gotta get an early start because it's a long trip to Detroit, you know.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. We do appreciate you taking time out of your day, John.
Sure, a lot of people don't, you know, they, you ever hear that saying, got everything except for the kitchen sink?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm bringing the kitchen sink. I'm also bringing the kitchen stove. In the kitchen refrigerator and the kit, you can stop me anytime because
yeah,
I'm going through all the appliances.
That's good. Yeah, John, I know, I don't know, we'll get your picks a little bit later, but I know you're heading toward Detroit in the Madden Cruiser. I don't know if you heard yesterday, but Brett Favre was elected the sexiest man in the NFL.
Yeah, and all my votes paid off, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I figured out how to vote 500 times a day. And so, I mean, I get on my computer, or I get had guys calling for me, or ladies, or whatever, you know. Maybe I don't want to seem too awkward here, but
yeah.
Brett Favre, I mean, I if you could make a Brett Favre sandwich, I mean, I'd be the guy that prepared that and then wrapped it up, and then I mean, I wouldn't send it on his way. I'd eat them all myself.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan too. I mean, the thing I like about Favre is he's a quarterback trapped inside. No, wait, he's a linebacker. That's right, he's trapped inside a quarterback's body.
Yeah, not just a linebacker. He's a lineman. He's a coach.
Yeah,
he's a water boy. He's got it all. I mean, I saw Brett Favre. You know, there were guys on the team that said, and by the way, I don't know any other Green Bay Packers name besides Brett Favre at this point.
Yeah.
But,
well, he's all of them anyway.
So, do you not know Bart Starr or Nitschke?
I mean,
or
current.
Oh, players. Current. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Bart Starr. I could name old guys. But,
right.
You know, guys my age and stuff like that. Brett Favre was pretty much playing all by his. Mike Sherman isn't even their coach anymore. He was their coach. Now he's not their coach because he didn't make Brett Favre seem like Brett Favre.
Yeah, I understand. So, who do you like coming up in the Super Bowl? I mean, this is a tough pick.
It's tough because, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and say that Pittsburgh, the Steelers, these guys are definitely from Pennsylvania. And I think that, you know, when you're playing a team from Seattle, I think that they're out on the West Coast. So between, you know, just looking at those two pieces of information, I think one of those two teams is going to win.
Okay. You see, and that's what happens. I mean, that's a little glimpse behind the curtain when you've been to the show. Like Madden has, when you know what's going on. A little inside information for your planning on gambling. So you say one of the teams is going to walk away with the victory?
Yeah, the team that scores the most points usually is the winner. And I've looked and looked and looked. And, you know, I've never found a time where that isn't the case.
Uh-huh.
But I'm pretty sure that it, I mean, if that's where you put your cashola,
right.
You're going to be bringing home a Brett Favre like, you know what I'm saying?
A lot of turnovers in the Denver game. They gave up the rock a few times. Denver did. It's hard to win.
And the ball too.
And the ball.
You can't give up the ball away, and you can't give the ball away and let the other team score. And those are the kinds of things that when you know, it's one thing to give the other team the ball, but to give the other team the ball and let them score points. I mean, that's when it hurts your field position. They were back in the end zone kicking a couple times. I mean, there's a couple places you don't want to kick. One is in right in the end zone, and two is out of bounds because that doesn't even count.
Right. Well, I remember back in the day when you were coaching Ray Guy going for the coffin corner, but that's gone the way of the dodo, yes? How say you?
Yeah. I mean, the thing about that phrasing, the way of the dodo, someday that'll be the way of Brett Favre when he's gone.
Oh, it's gone the way of Brett Favre.
Yeah, gone the way of the Favre.
Wow. Yeah, that would be nice. Maybe we can get that started.
Yeah. I mean, Adam, I think this is the place to do it.
Well, gone the way of the dodo, ironically, has gone the way of the dodo. Nobody uses that term anymore, but gone the way of the Favre, I think, could work.
Yeah, but he has to be gone, and I don't really want him to be gone because I want to make more of those Brett Favre sandwiches.
Well, I'll tell you what, John, something I've learned from cleaning carpets, when you stop having fun, it's time to leave. It's time to check out. That's how you know it's time to hang the cleats up. When you're getting $11 million for 3.5 months work out of the year, but if you're not having fun, it's time to hang it up.
Yeah,
am I right?
You really do have to have fun out there.
You got to have fun. And Brett Favre has fun out there. He's like a kid.
I mean, I couldn't say better myself. He does. I mean, it's like watching a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old getting some kind of spinning thing or a driving wheel.
Yeah, sit and spin. He really is. He's like a retarded child trapped inside a quarterback's body who also has a linebacker in him.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like this guy's a clown car.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Like.
Yeah, so if you stop having fun, it's time to hang it up. Are you still having fun announcing, John?
Oh, if money, I mean, if your bank account means fun, I am enjoying myself unbelievably.
Okay, so if you stop, it's time to hang it up.
Yeah,
that's
I won't
all.
Be hanging on.
All right, are you going to spend any time with Favre during the off season?
Every waking moment, Adam. Any time I get a chance,
I mean, the funny thing, I invited him over one time, and he got a little weirded out when he saw the poster
right,
hanging
sure.
above, you know.
With the hole in it, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And all the powdered sugar around it.
Well, yeah.
All right, John, we got to take a break.
Okay,
I thank you for calling in, and if you could check in on the way to Detroit, and I'm not sure why it's going to take you so long. It seems like you'd make it there in a couple of days.
I got a new bus driver. He didn't know what the heck's going on here.
Okay, all right. So if you can check in periodically, that would be awesome on the road to the Super Bowl.
Okay, just remember that a Brett Favre poster is always better than a Farrah Fawcett one.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah, you got the cootie factor with the chicks. All right, I want to thank Frank Caliendo, of course, for calling in as John Madden. Fifth season on Mad TV, also Fox NFL pregame show. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be back with Ozzy's movie review, some folk singing. We got Dana Gould coming in and all that after this.
Listen to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you is. I'm Adam Carolla, your host. 866-901-ADAM, the great Oswaldo Castillo. Not Castillo. You see how I pronounce it, Ozzy? Castillo is in studio. He's going to have a movie review of Glory Road in just a second. Then, of course, we have Rachel's News and Dave's Sports. First, let me review some pie. I was brought to my attention moments ago that's National Pie Day. Part of my campaign, and I'll be done with, as soon as I'm done with this left turn arrow thing, I'm going to work on getting cakes replaced by pie for birthday parties, weddings, and other such celebrations. But it's National Pie Day, and so a company, I don't know if it's Marie Callender's or it's the Pie House or who did it, but somebody donated a couple of pies or brought by a couple of pies for us to enjoy on National Pie Day, which was very generous, except for the two pies they gave us was a chocolate pie, which is essentially round pudding, and then they gave us a chocolate cheesecake pie, which again is cheesecake that's in a circular form. Yes, we've discussed this. It's like the hazelnut cream Brazilian coffee, not coffee. You cheesecake pie, not pie. Now, I understand maybe one of them being a funky chocolate whatever. Fine. Now, just go ahead and have the other one be apple or pumpkin or something. Am I boring you, Ozzy?
Hey,
you're snoring over that.
Snoring.
Yeah, the point is don't deliver two chocolate pies that aren't pies. I like pie, but it's pie. It's not pudding, and it's not cheesecake. It's pie. We all need to get on the same page with this.
Wait a minute, Rachel doesn't know.
What's up, Rachel?
That was good pie.
She was stuffing her face about 5 minutes ago.
Which one did you eat?
I ate not the cheesecake. I couldn't go there because that would have been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, as a lactose intolerant.
Sure.
But the other one was like
chocolate
cake in a pie.
Yeah, cake in a pie.
Oh, it was so
well, there
bad.
You go. Thank you for making my point.
It was like
chocolate cake in a circle.
I'm crazy now. So good.
What was it? It was just chocolate, though, right?
So tasty.
Was it just?
There's some nuts, maybe some caramel in there.
Okay.
Did you try it?
I will not try
it. Try my pie.
Nay,
Adam,
nay
my pie.
I say. Nay to pie,
try,
I say
try
with
pie.
You.
Pie.
No,
I was
try.
Barely able to, during the commercial, I was barely able to go and make water. And get back here in time. Rachel had a piece of cake, a piece of pie, and purged them both.
That's how she keeps her beautiful, beautiful shape. All I'm saying is we appreciate the pie. Next time, we'd appreciate some pie. Do you see what I'm saying? Actual pie.
Coconut cream.
Well, key lime, pecan.
Even these are a little, but yes, you
lemon
go
meringue.
Pumpkin, lemon meringue is nice. A little hoity-toity. The whole thing about pie is a sort of simple pleasure of it. The pumpkin pie.
Apple
is nice.
Cherry.
A la mode. Cherry's all right. Boysenberry is very solid.
Rhubarb, strawberry, rhubarb?
Rhubarb, strawberry is a little weird. Starts getting into the mincemeat category, which is a weird, weird pie. That's now a pot pie. Or whatever they pot pie they put in the oven. My point is chocolate, and then the second chocolate one. Not exactly what you'd be picturing if you ordered a pie. But all right, what can't I complain about? That's a new segment. Write that down. Now, it is time for our movie review with Oswaldo of Glory Road. Ozzy, I met 16 years ago, swinging a hammer. We worked together for many, many years. We continue to work together and share a love of barbecue and carpentry. And I decided when I got this radio show, it would be awesome to have him review movies for us because he has such a keen eye. So, Ozzy, without any further ado, take it away.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
Good morning, Alan.
Let me just give you one quick little radio one tip. When four or five guys point their finger at you feverishly, that's when it's time to start talking. All right. Here we go. Good morning, Ozzy.
Good morning, Alan.
Adam, yes.
I'm not sleeping yesterday. I try, make a better, pronunciation of your name.
Ah, you stayed up all night trying to pronounce.
Go right to it.
Yeah. All right.
The movie I am reviewing today is Glory Road.
Glory Road.
It's at the base in the true story and the thing that changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Western College from El Paso, Texas, from 1965 to 1967, what this team make it, leader championship.
They made the championship. They changed everything.
Yeah.
Texas Western, yes.
Over the history, to this team, in El Paso, Texas.
Right, El Paso. Mm-hmm.
In the movie, George Lucas played Don Haskins, as the coach, And Derek Luke played Bobby Joe Hill. Bobby Joe Hill. He's the same, Kobe Bryant, in the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
The best, guy who play, in the team.
Mm-hmm. Let me explain something one second. It's Joe. I think you're saying Joe?
Joe.
Like when I say Rojo, that's red, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't say Rojo.
Yeah.
I say Rojo. See what I mean?
Yeah.
I could read it and say Rojo, but I understand you guys pronounce the J as the H, so I say Rojo. Rojo.
Rojo.
Rojo. Right. So now, give us that same courtesy and give us our J.
Joe.
Okay. All right. You see? Right there.
My preferred part of this film is when the coach takes the determination and the only color member player in the team and the way in the championship.
I know the story, so I'm assuming you're talking about the all-black starting five for the team, right?
Yeah.
Coach, very determined.
Yeah,
he only colored member players, he said.
Only color member player.
Okay. All right. Listen, he's set in his ways.
Can't judge.
Cannot judge. Different culture. Go ahead.
When the ready team accept, the decision, I saw, the respect and discipline in the team, and the time determination, the coach say, nobody play only the color guy, for the discrimination,
send a message.
The team, yeah.
Right.
This is the one more movie that show the racism inside the American sport.
A racism in American sports. Yes.
Thank goodness again that Ace is here playing the Han Solo to Ozzy's Chewbacca, translating for the rest of us.
I've said this many times. I've worked with Ozzy for 16 years. I know what he wants, just like you know what your dog wants. He can't speak English, but you know the difference between him being hungry and having to take a dump, don't you? Keep going, Ozzy.
Yeah. Is the underdog, reality, the beginning positive in the necessary for a dream and superation.
Yes. They want to separate the colors.
Yeah.
That's right. Like a Crayola box, but it's not going to happen.
It left this review cold.
Oh, wow. It did. The racism left this reviewer cold?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was Oswaldo's movie review.
Yeah.
We hope you did not end up too confused. Oh, no, Oswaldo.
Yes, Ozzy.
Let me say something, over my person, my wife, today I take, 26 year, anniversary.
Oh, 26 years you've been married.
To my wife, Sylvia, all my kids, and especially, my person.
Yeah, she's your main gal. I don't want to correct you again, but it's Sylvia, not Sylvia.
Sylvia.
Right. All right. Maybe for an anniversary gift on your 30th year, you could pronounce her name. That would be nice.
You're right.
All right. Now, how did? Well, she probably does it that way too. Now, she's a delight, and you know what? Let me tell you this about Ozzy's wife: hot,
really
good looking.
Oh, that's right. I didn't
Very
know.
Nice looking, slender, young.
Thank you.
Really? Yeah, it's amazing.
Ozzy, I heard you were calling Adam because you wanted to have a party at his house or something. Is this true?
Oh, yeah.
He called me 28 times over the weekend. I wasn't in town, but Ozzy wants to throw. Now, who is this? Your birthday party?
Yeah.
How old are you going to be?
47.
47 years old. Look at him. He looks brand new. That's what clean living mixed with not pronouncing anyone's name correctly leads to this. Looks like a newborn. And you want to throw this party over at my house.
Yeah.
Are you going to barbecue?
The bar, yeah. I make a little barbecue, you know. Invite everybody, you know. Yeah.
Invite everybody? Yeah. You're going to cook the flap steak?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Carne asada.
Oh, it is the best. I'm telling you, the best. Jack, you've had his barbecue,
never.
Yes?
Never.
Never?
Nope.
Oh,
isn't
so
it imposing
good.
Himself on you, though? I mean, that's a little bit rude.
A little bit. Thank
I've heard
you,
the
Bruska.
Raves. I've heard the raves.
Yeah,
believe
it
me.
Is amazing. I'm thinking, I'm toying with the idea, Ozzy. I gotta tell you, because, you know, Ozzy's a great guy, and Ozzy takes care of everything. On the other hand, I'm tired. I was out of town this weekend. I want to relax next weekend. Maybe we can find a suitable place for you to have your 47th birthday party. Somebody call up if you have a lovely house, if you have a yard, if you have a barbecue, or even if it's just you got some space. You have a funeral home, you have a soccer field, something.
Why don't you sweeten the pot a little bit? Jim Bruska, producer, will make an appearance if you offer.
Wow, big Jim Bruska. Now, I can tell you that Ozzy is a gentleman. Everyone he knows is a total pro, and his barbecue is to die for. You have not lived until you've eaten Ozzy's flap steak. There's nothing better. Call in if you want to talk about that or you want to donate something. Because, Ozzy, I got to tell you, I want you to have a party. I would like to help. I'll even pay money to somebody to have it at their house. That is the commitment I'll make. But call in and help us out with that. Ozzy, nice job, by the way, on the movie review. And it is time to do some news with Rachel Perry.
Thank you.
Well, in the headlines, Ford is going to be closing 14 manufacturing plants in North America, laying off 25 to 30,000 people in a massive restructuring program.
Mm-hmm.
The father of kidnapped American journalist Jill Carroll is appealing directly to her captors to release her and tell their story to the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's no word still on
when,
what the fate.
Is her? Wasn't her due date up?
It, yeah.
Was it yesterday
it
or
was
the day
Friday.
Before?
It was supposed to be on Friday, and they still don't know. Mm. They haven't heard anything. No, nobody knows what's going on. So, you know, they're still hoping for the best.
Mm.
In the meantime, last week, of course, Osama bin Laden...
Mm-hmm.
released a tape.
Mm-hmm.
In the tape, he mentioned that people should read this book called The Rogue State, written by an American named William Bloom. This book went from 209,000th on Amazon.com sales list to 30th.
Really?
And now it's sold out.
Because a madman, terrorist with a vendetta against this country suggested you should read it?
Mm.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oprah's got to be shaking in her boots.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have the box office numbers from the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Am I doing this wrong? Should I be going backwards?
No, go number one.
I feel like start with the best.
Yeah.
Eat the pie. Eat
That's
dessert
right.
first if you want it.
Yes.
Kate Beckinsale's sequel to Underworld Evolution was the top movie at the box office, raking in $27.6 million.
Mm.
Hoodwinked, the Little Red Riding Hoof. Hood,
right?
Came in at number two.
How does that work? Are there just a bunch? I'm not talking about Hoodwinked. I'm talking about the vampire movie. Is there that many just hard up 14-year-old boys who want to sort of reload their mental hamper and take it home with them with Kate Beckinsale in the tight leather outfit? I mean, what? Who watches these movies? I'm always surprised that they make it to number one. Maybe we're in an off season. There's not a lot of big releases, but you see these movies, they look like video games to me. Mm. And they're so frenetic and there's so much going on that just there's no draw at all. I mean, if you have brain cells to rub together, do you watch these movies?
I don't know. Maybe people can call us and tell us. I'm not sure. What I've found interesting, somebody pointed out to me, is that have you seen the gigantic posters for Kate Beckinsale?
Mm-hmm.
She's got the two guns
right
in front of her face.
Yeah.
How come just a couple months ago, 50 Cent, they made him take down all the 50 Cent posters?
That's...
And he had the guns. They don't. What is this? Is like Whitey?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You think we made some progress when you watch movies like Glory Road, but as it turns out, not so.
Don't want to see a black man with guns, but yeah. a white vampire lichen.
No problem.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Glory Road happened to be the number 3 movie at the box office. Queen Latifah is number 4, Brokeback number 5. Blah, 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 the rest of them.
Ozzy, what did you think about Glory Road?
It's a good movie.
Yes, but how did it leave you?
We say?
The reviewer, did it leave you cold?
Yeah, it's cold. The review is cold.
Okay, see, I should stop trying. It's my problem in life, is I try to do things. I should just shut up.
Well, Ozzy clearly is battling some sort of respiratory problem, too, based on the heaving that's coming out of him.
Well, that's how he does it. Come on.
Apparently, thanks to Brokeback Mountain, gay cowboys now coming out of the woodwork everywhere. They're saying it's hard being in a place with so few people are gay, but it's made it more accepted. And Robert Redford says that he doesn't want Matt Damon and Ben Affleck to remake Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid because he says there's no shortage of good original ideas out there. There's just no point to remakes. Why do they have to mess with things that were perfect the first time around?
Did he say perfect? Wow.
This is what they read.
Robert Blowhardford. Yeah.
Thought you'd like that.
Wow.
And finally, Giselle Fernandez. Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't even really watch this show. I just kind of latched onto it because I feel like people like this Dancing with the Stars thing.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, she was the latest to go, and she's just happy that she had the opportunity to discover her hidden talent.
This has been a dream come true for me. I am 45, had no dancing. I'll say it again. I got a chance to live a dream, find out I had a talent I never had. Well, and I have had a blast. And I thank ABC and even you mean judges. I thank you. I had a blast. Some love. And this is a great team of people. I love you all. Thank you.
Yeah, what? I think I saw her. And just about every chick who's on that show just immediately, once their agent calls them and tells them they got the nod, they immediately start vomiting to shed the pounds, because these chicks are just yoked. I mean, you can see like veins in their stomachs and striation in their shoulders and veins in their arms. And just let me give you ladies a little heads up. As guys, we're not interested sexually in skinny teenage boys. We don't like that. We like a curve. We like a bosom. We like a buttocks. That sort of weird soup. They wear the tight midriff shirt, and you can see their six pack, and they're veining, they're striding.
You guys don't like that?
Women admire this in other women. She looks amazing.
Look at her.
I think she's had 2 babies. Can you believe that? Look at her.
She looks like a piece of jerky, is what she looks like. I don't want to hump jerky. I want to hump a nice pot roast.
Oh,
yes.
All right.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You heard me.
All right. Well, I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
My heart still soars from the results yesterday. Pittsburgh Steelers over the Denver Broncos, 34-17. They're the first 6 seed ever to get to the Super Bowl. Steelers will be playing number one seeded in the NFC, Seattle Seahawks. They whipped the Carolina Panthers, 34-14. So Super Bowl 40 is all set. Steelers installed, as they say, as a 4-point favorite out of the gate. NBA, Kobe Bryant, 81 points last night. Second highest single game total ever.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Lakers beat Toronto. Also, Seattle over Phoenix in double overtime. Clippers win. Sacramento and Portland lose. College ball over the weekend. In the Pac-10, you had UCLA, Cal, Oregon, Arizona State, and Wazoo, all losers. Back to the NFL, because that's, of course, the big story. Not just in my world, but in America's world. I paid a visit to the Mile High City. Lovely place, lovely people. I happened to take a microphone with me to record some of the ambient sound, the goings-on before kickoff. Here's some stuff from the tailgate, and this is true. I was there, and I went in. They had the big, fancy tailgate. They had a huge one, 100 people or so. Spread of food. They had pulled pork, and they had all sorts of salads, and they had champagnes, and they had wines and beers. In other words, it wasn't football food.
Not where I'm from.
Brats and beer. That's
and
right.
And beer, Iron City beer.
That's
so,
right.
But I snuck in there and I ate their food. Here's how it went. Listen to this. Okay. Now, what's your issue with me?
I think that as a media person, you should be an unbiased observer.
Wow.
I am unbiased. I'm an objective man. I'm looking around. I don't see the fire in the bellies of these Denver fans.
Oh, but excuse me, you have a Pittsburgh Steelers shirt on.
That's exactly right, and I have a terrible towel in my pocket. And soon I shall unleash its powers when I wave it above my head.
You're going to need it to wipe the tears from your face.
Wow.
There will be tears. You're exactly right. I will need it to wipe the tears of joy.
Tears of shame.
Tears of joy will stream down this face in roughly 4 hours.
See, wow. I had a fire in my belly. These people were out for
not
a good
hungry.
Time.
They're not hungry.
But listen, they didn't even see me. I'm eating their food. They think I'm one of them because I have my Steeler gear covered up.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Listen.
Yeah.
I've infiltrated your fancy party. I'm drinking your beer and eating your food. And if given the opportunity, I'll bed your women.
One man sleeper cell.
The city of Pittsburgh. We came here to do take care of business. It's no party for us. How say you?
That's not beer. It's cold.
Wow, drinking urine.
That's right. And you know,
I don't feel that the Broncos fans seem properly geared up for this game. I don't know that their heads are in the right place. How say you?
Go Broncos!
Wow.
I'm not buying it. I don't buy it.
You see? That was the story of the day.
Well, you put a pox on them, obviously, because
yes.
The Pittsburgh Steelers were victorious, and the games weren't even close. They were both over halfway into the second quarter.
Exciting time for the Pacific Northwest after 30 years of watching this mostly crummy franchise, finally to the Super Bowl. Sadly, they shall meet their fate in 2 Sundays from yesterday.
I'm taking Seattle. I think
One cares who you're taking.
Wow.
No one cares who you're taking, too.
Wow.
But, no one cares.
10-10.
Even though I'm 10-10 in the postseason picking with the point against the point spread.
All right.
10-0. Thank you.
Dave Dameshek's number one sports.
Hey, Ron.
Yeah.
You own a club?
Yes, I do. It's a video game nightclub.
Do you want a video game nightclub?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. How does that work?
Well, we got 15 50-inch flat screen TVs on HD.
Wow.
Must be just full of women.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be
tons
surprised.
Of chicks there.
You'd be surprised.
It's
kind of like a nightclub type environment, you know, and we got a bunch of big screen TVs hooked up to sofas that rumble with the games and everything.
Okay, well, what about Darth Vader throwing his birthday party there? Would that be... Snort twice into the mic, Ozzy, if that's okay with you.
Go ahead. It's okay?
It's okay with me. Arena Lounge. You go to Arena Lounge, Arena Interactive Lounge, arenalounge.com.
Oh, getting a plug. Well, listen, I'll let you get a plug in, we will give you a plug if you throw Ozzy's birthday party there.
I'll throw Ozzy's birthday party.
What is it? Is it on Sunday, Ozzy? You want to do Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
Jason. Nice. I mean, Ron, how is that for you? Saturday.
Saturday during the day or Saturday night?
Well, it starts in the day and then it goes to all hours.
we'll see. I mean, I'm open to that.
He's backpedaling this guy. He's going to lose business.
I'm not backpedaling. I'm open to that. I mean, I'm open. Not a problem.
Can Ozzy barbecue?
Barbecuing can be a little tough in the actual location.
Ozzy's going to have to. That was not a good Ass Kiss Rodeo, by the way. Ron, Ozzy will need to barbecue. You need to barbecue, right, Ozzy?
Yeah, I have it too, you know.
You have a barbecue. Yeah. Well, actually, Ozzy's the only guy I know who has a barbecue in his apartment, and he actually has a trailer mount barbecue that he drags behind his truck, and then he has a portable knapsack barbecue that he carries with him.
Well, if he wants to park it on the street and risk the wrath of the city, he can do whatever he wants.
Well, I don't know if there's any ordinance against barbecuing on the sidewalk. Let's look into that.
He's more than welcome to try.
All right, Ron, let me put you on hold because we're running late.
Can I get one more plug real quick?
Here's the whole thing. A, no. B, yes, if we work out the details. You have to play ball. You can't just give a bunch of plugs and then crap out. I want Ozzy to throw this party at your place so he doesn't come to my house on Saturday. And I think we can work this out, but hang on there, Ron. All right, we're going to take a break. Who do we got coming up? Is Dana Gould coming up? Or
yes,
are we going to do the folk singing with Josh Gardner?
No, Dana Gould is next.
Dana Gould. stand-up Dana Gould, also producer, writer from The Simpsons. Talk to him after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Yeah. Let's pull that horrible music. That's what other radio shows do when they pretend to care. We're not trying to fool anyone here. Yeah, heating up the microphone. I'm taking a 15,000-watt flamethrower here. It's a weapon. I just got it. 20 minutes after noon. Traffic and weather coming up at the top of the hour. I'll tell you, if I was having any more fun, I couldn't stand it, and the law wouldn't allow it. This close to dropping trowel. Shaq, how say you? I will drop trowel, will I not?
Yay.
A madman, huh? I'll drop trowel.
Yay, double yay.
21 after 7. 21 minutes after 7. 7:39 minutes to the top of the hour. Coming at you, got a flamethrower here. We got traffic, weather, news, traffic, weather, news, news, traffic, weather coming up. We got a surf report coming up. This guy's coming in, mad, mad. 21 after 7 o'clock, 7:21. Dana Gould, it's got funny, funny. I like when the guy's so funny that the guy who's announcing him has to laugh halfway into his second name.
I think that those guys should be lent out to NPR once a week.
It would
be
awesome.
Corbin Coleman coming up talking to homeless people. It's off the hook.
Phoebe Snow's going to do acoustic set in here. That's one lesbian who can rock. So 7:21 at 7 o'clock in this NPR.
Get a guy who picks beans. He's going to comment on what it means about us in a post 9/11 reality.
We got some talk about alternative fuels delivered by gay guy coming up top of the hour. News, weather, sports. So I was going to talk about biodiesel coming up top of the hour too.
I just did an NPR interview a couple weeks ago, and it took about 7 seconds to get to. Whenever a comedian goes on NPR, the first question is always, not what's a funny thing, what is comedy? What makes you laugh?
Well, I've been over at NPR too, and it's awesome. It's like communist Russia, and your dad's the czar. Like, you can never be fired. That's why the pace. That's why in morning radio, when everyone can get fired immediately, and everyone has to go into the producer's office or the program director's office and listen to the air check tape and everything. That's why everyone's standing up. Everyone's like freaked out all the time. Tammy, it's like everyone's on acid, on speed, and they're just riffing. But NPR, they can't fire anyone, so everyone's just kind of like, everyone go screw yourself. We're going to talk about some ass you don't care about, but who cares? I dig it. And then we're going to play some music you never heard before.
And that type of talking, you get sucked into it. Because when that person is talking like that, like on those, tell them, we're interviewing Bob Dylan. Bob, what? And even Bob Dylan's like, well, I don't know what happened. That you just get sucked into that slow, breathy, yeah. God, I hate it.
Today's guest? The Insane Clown Posse. Hi, good evening. Thanks for having us.
I'm Piggy. This is awesome. I'm Piggy Demon. I play Piggy Demon in the Posse. Hi.
Yeah, I'm Violent J. Thanks again for having us. Violent J. Hibiscus tea is awesome. Thank you. Can I have a warm-up? That's not too much trouble.
Thank you for the complimentary ceramic mug.
Dana Gould in studio, everyone. Dana is from The Simpsons and from... Well, from the stage as well, but one of the co-producers of The Simpsons, one of the writers, been there for 7, 8 seasons? How many seasons now?
I about 6 seasons, 7 years, I guess.
Legendary show. Is it the 17th year? Is it like the longest running animated or was is that?
I'm sure it's the longest running animated.
The longest
animated
running everything,
show.
Right?
No. You would be surprised. It's like Ozzie and Harriet was on for 5 years, but they did 60 right. episodes a season.
Right. And then, then there's weird ones.
So we just
like,
walking around hating Ozzie and Harriet. That's all we do.
I hear that when you want to get a celebrity or when you want to talk to a celebrity, you just write them into a show.
Yeah, that's the big dirty secret about working at The Simpsons. It's like, I'd love to meet Elvis Costello. Let's write him into an episode. 3 weeks later, Elvis Costello shows up. And that's how I met the guy that I really wanted to meet. Like, we just did an episode that's coming out soon that has... like Michael Chabon and Gore Vidal and all these big authors are on it.
Right.
I really wanted to meet Adam West.
Sure.
So we wrote Adam into a show, and he's so funny, genuinely funny guy. Mm-hmm. And we were recording him, and he said, Adam, we need some lines of just sound like you're struggling in vain. Because mm-hmm. he was doing a voice of Batman.
Right.
And he goes, all right. Struggling in vain.
No.
He really... He did, I swear, on my mother's grave, he did
wow.
that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Worse than Ozzy. You could imagine that. Dana is also going to be doing some stand-up at the HBO Comedy Festival in Aspen in March coming up, and has a CD, has many things in The Aristocrats, which is coming out on DVD tomorrow, and does the Mucho, what the hell is that show?
Oh.
Yeah, Lucha Vavoom, pro wrestling and comedy.
Yes, these shows that we do at the Mayan Theater in Los Angeles, it's pretty standard stand-up comedians, midget Mexican wrestlers, and burlesque dancers.
Yeah. I mean, stuff we've all seen before, but you guys put your own spin on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like watching the McLaughlin Group.
I was asking everybody, because everyone who's in comedy seems like they were inspired by The Simpsons at some point. I mean, everyone between the age of 30 and 45 at some point decided that this was the benchmark for comedy on television, as did I.
And there are writers on the show now whose favorite show growing up was The Simpsons.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. And I was trying to think of my favorite episodes, and I told everyone to figure theirs out. Lynch didn't have to think twice. Mike Lynch, how say you?
Lisa Becomes a Vegetarian.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That is
a good
one.
The film strip is the funniest thing.
Good episode. Yeah. Yes. Sheck, how say you?
I go, I'll say the Grimy episode is dynamite.
Grimes.
And I love the last scene in the Pinchy the Lobster episode is the great, to me, is the single greatest scene of all time when Homer eats Pinchy after he put him in a hot bath and killed him by accident.
Rachel Perry, how say you?
I don't know. That I'm too on the spot. I couldn't think of a favorite one at all.
She's not seen the show.
Not seen the show.
Yeah,
all
never.
Right.
No, all right. I honestly like. I like the one where
Homer
no,
gets
you know,
into
I can't. Yeah,
trouble.
He gets into some sort of trouble.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go. I have three, and I realized as I was writing them down, they're all before Dana Gould got there. So don't take any offense.
Well, that's quite right. I actually have never. I've been there 7 years, and
never
seen the show.
Never seen the program. Mine is Rancho Relaxo when Marge goes to Rancho Relaxo. The other one is where Homer becomes morbidly obese to get out of work.
That's great.
That is an awesome episode, and then an old one. Homer steals Cable. Remember that one? Mm-hmm. Climbs up the telephone pole, gets the big fight. Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
Flaming Moe, another great. And Homer
Ooh,
goes to college.
Flaming
two
Moe.
Great old ones.
Yes.
Flaming Moe, written by my old writing partner, Rob Cohen.
Wow. We will. Somebody's on the phone is offering up a strip club for Ozzy's party. Treasure?
Hello.
What's happening, Treasure?
Not a lot, but if you guys want to ship it down to Las Vegas, you can have them at any... We have two strip clubs. They're not... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have two.
During the day, yeah. And you know what? I'll even furnish the flat steak, sure. And Danvers will probably show up.
Yeah.
They like free food.
Well, the problem is Ozzy has a limited range. He has a limited range verbally and physically. He cannot get to Vegas in that short of notice. So we have to do it in Southern California.
Okay, well, if you're ever in Las Vegas, Ozzy, come on down.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Treasure. We're looking for a place to throw Ozzy's birthday party. We're looking for a home, which would actually be nice, because Ozzy wants to throw it at my home. I don't want to say no to the lad, but on the other hand, I don't want him smelling up my place over the weekend. So what I would like is for folks to call in 866-901-ADAM and donate your home for Ozzy's party. He's a delight. He's a gentleman. He'll barbecue his ass off. You'll reap the rewards of it. Maybe we'll put you on the radio show. It'll be awesome. Dana Gould is here. He is a producer of The Simpsons. He's a comedian. He's got many things going on. We'll take a quick break. And, oh, this is my song. Yeah. This is what the ladies hear when I walk into the club. Bouncing in slow motion. Leather jacket slung over the shoulder. Looking down the sunglasses. Now tight shot of the boots. Walking. Again, ladies in slow motion all turning from the bar.
That's the guy from NPR.
Handsome stranger. We will take a break. Be right back after this.
You want me to say the same what you said?
You're listening to Adam Carolla Show.
Call Adam now.
Call Adam now. 866-901. What is Adam?
Yeah. My favorite thing about foreigners is when they call me Mr. Adam. I called that by three drivers this week. Mr. Adam! All right. I like that. It's formal and sort of casual simultaneously. And then I laugh. Mr. Adam. Now, that's my dad's name. Oh, wait a minute. That's doesn't work. Dana Gould is in studio. Hi, Dana.
Thank you, Mr. Adam. Hello.
Dana is going to be in Aspen in March doing a little HBO Comedy Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Also has the Aristocrats DVD coming out tomorrow and going to be at the Mayan Theater here in Los Angeles. 14th, 15th, and 16th doing the Lucha Vavoom.
With Tom Kenny and Patton Oswalt.
Mexican wrestling, stand-up, burlesque. It's all there, everybody. Rich Eisen has called in. Rich is, of course, the lead anchor from the NFL Network. Rich is going to do a quick little football update. Rich?
How are you, Adam?
Thanks for calling.
Thanks so much.
And how say you?
I'm saying I'm going to Detroit. That's what I'm saying.
Exciting, huh?
Yeah, and I'm going there in 6 days.
Is there a bigger event in the world that you're aware of than the Super Bowl?
All that Mexican wrestling thing you just talked about.
Lucha Vavoom? Marginally, yeah. It is bigger, but I think the Super Bowl's nipping at its heels.
A little bit. Yeah, no, this is it. This is it. It's certainly the only American sporting final of any professional sport where it doesn't matter who makes it. It'll rate the same on television. It'll still get the same audience. It'll get the same interest.
That's brings up an interesting point, because I'd heard that 30-second spots were going for $2.5 million.
There you go.
And do you think, though, if if the Patriots were playing, I don't know, the Giants or whoever, I don't even know if they can, but if two more major market teams, sorry, Sheck, were in there, would they raise the price? Do they work it that way, or do you have any idea?
No, these ads have been sold a long time ago. I mean, mm-hmm. there may be some seats still available on that roster.
Right.
But I wouldn't know for sure, but no, those are sold a long time.
Let me quickly ask, though. Yes. Aren't the Steelers, I'm biased perhaps, but are the Steelers not the most popular team in the NFL?
They're close.
I think they and the
Green Bay Packers probably have the best traveling group of fans where it just doesn't matter. There's always some Steeler fan somewhere.
That's right. Dallas Cowboys say they're America's team. Patriots wear red, mm-hmm. white, and blue, but the mm-hmm. real team is,
right.
is
the I knew I'd be leaving someone out. The Cowboys fans definitely travel very well, too. I mean, they can turn an away stadium into their own personal home stadium. If
you live in a city where most of the people who live there aren't pursuing long-term career goals.
Right.
You'll get a good traveling team.
Right. You have folks that aren't studying for the bar
right.
on the weekend. Right. They're right. getting loaded at a bar and having a heart attack. And now that Southwest has come into play, all bets are off. Because it used to be you had to put your suit on and get your ascot tied up and pay top dollar. Now that you can fly anywhere in the country for $18, there's going to be more Steeler fans everywhere. More people from Wisconsin and Denver. It's going to be a cluster F, as we say in the business.
Beautiful.
Rich, what is your schedule like? When do you get to Detroit?
I get to Detroit Saturday, and then Sunday, NFL Total Access Live in Detroit begins. And then we do 60 hours of live programming that entire week in the Super Bowl in Detroit. We're on the air pretty much nonstop. Tuesday is the media day, which is total insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Where both teams have to present themselves for the media to just basically ask them every possible question they've ever even thought they'd be asked. That's Tuesday. And then the games begin with just our cast that we have there, you know, with our usual crew, with Rod Woodson, Terrell Davis, Lincoln Kennedy.
What a mountain Lincoln Kennedy is.
He's a monstrously large man.
I mean, is he 400 pounds?
He is not. But
he's 425.
We have chairs on our show. I sit on a regular wooden chair. Lincoln's chair is iron cast, painted the same color as the wood, and it looks like an ottoman on stilts.
Sits on Lincoln's chair from the Lincoln Monument.
That he does.
He's that big a man.
Who's the pick? Steelers -4.
Oh man, Well, as you know, the National Football League, we frown upon such vice as betting with the line.
Sure. But go ahead.
That caveat. I just like this right now. Both teams feel destined. The whole Bettis going back home thing to me was going to be talked about over the next 2 weeks for sure, along with the Seahawks never making it. The Steelers just seem to me to be the hotter team right now, even though the Seahawks just crushed people.
All right, so you're going Steelers.
That question threw you into a psychic quandary.
It really did.
About it right now.
All right, Rich, thanks for calling in, by the way.
And I'll speak to you from Detroit.
God love you. Rich
thanks,
Eisen
dude.
From the NFL Network. I know people make their decisions or their prognostications on the game as if they have control over the outcome. Geez, I want to pick Seattle, but I'd hate to see Bettis go home a loser in Detroit. On the other hand, I don't want to pick Pittsburgh because the good people from Seattle deserve. You understand? You're not going to have any effect over the outcome of the actual game. Do know that, right? Even though you're a great prognosticator. Rich Eisen, everybody. We'll take a break. When we come back, more Dana Gould. We're going to hear ourselves a folk song from Josh Gardner. Some people on hold. They're offering Ozzy his house to throw his barbecue at this weekend. All that after this.
In a world controlled by bureaucrats.
Are the people in power interested? No. We're going to have to take it back.
One man.
These left turn arrows that are green and now turn to red, I ignore.
We'll make an illegal left and stand up for what's right.
Drive through every goddamn left turn arrow.
And millions will stand with him.
I would like everyone in the city to do it, and then we'll clog the system.
From the producers of Braveheart and Passion of the Christ.
Are we lemmings? Do you need the man to tell you everything?
Adam Carolla in.
We have logic. We can think. Let's take this one back.
Broken Arrows.
This film is not yet a film.
Stirs your soul. Yes. Yes, that is the, that is my project. That is my muse. It's my children, those broken arrows, and I would like to discipline them. Actually, red turn arrows. Josh Gardner's in studio. Josh is our folk singer. I discovered him at McCabe's weekend before last. The guy has talent. I think he has a voice. It deserves to be heard. He came in. He sung a couple of great songs last week. We decided to have him compose an original song for our broken arrow theme, which is driving through the red arrows on the green lights. If the light is red, don't turn left. But if the light is green and the arrow is red, then turn left when it's safe. That's all. That's all I want you to do. Let's speed this town up. You guys talk about lost productivity behind the wheel and the commute and how long it takes. Let's do what we can to speed things up. I'm taking a stand. How say you? Also, Dana Gould is in studio. We're going to talk to him. He Ozzy is in studio, and there's a couple of people have called in who want to donate their house. But first, I think we should hear Josh sing. Josh?
Hey.
Hey. Nice job last week, by the way.
Josh sings songs, if I may say, yeah, for social change is really your goal. It's not just about singing about girls and getting loaded with you, right?
It definitely. Social change is number one, then the other two.
Right. And we sort of gave you this task last week. Yeah. We asked you to compose a song that would work this civil disobedience theme we have on the road. So
here it is. Let's get right into it.
Okay.
What happened to the open road? It was stolen by the man. Now they got these red arrows at stoplights all over the land. Rosa Parks died for my freedom and your freedom too. Ain't no place for the red arrow in the red, white, and blue.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you try to take our freedom, we'll cut you down like swine. We'll take your little red arrows and cram them through your mind.
Wow, heavy.
This ain't Nazi Germany, don't tell us what to do. Drive right through those red arrows for the red, white, and blue.
Wow. Josh Gardner, everyone.
That felt good.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's not, you don't hear about folk singers taking a stand against a man like they used to in the 60s, you know, in the vein of a Joan Baez or Peter, Paul, and Mary.
You have to, though.
You do. That was good stuff, Josh.
I learned something in that song. I wasn't aware that Rosa Parks died as a part of her stand against the...
Yeah, I thought she died like 3 weeks ago or something.
Yeah, well, she died for her freedom. I mean, she can't die in vain.
She died fighting, essentially.
40 years after the stand.
Well.
And didn't want to die.
Right.
I see.
That's interesting. If you make a stand for a cause in like 1963 and then you die in 2005, did you still give your life for the cause?
You still get the martyr right
off. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome stuff. I gotta make a stand. All right. Josh, you're going solo now.
Yeah, I decided to go solo.
Used to be in a band?
I was in a band. We were called Private Party.
Oh, right,
but
yeah.
The gigs just got too expensive.
Right, people see Private Party up on the marquee and they don't...
Well, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
It might be, yeah.
2020 hindsight, that might have been a mistake.
I like the name Private Party.
I was in a band called Post No Bills for a while. Same thing, which is, yeah.
The New Beatles is going to be my band.
Dana can be found at the Mayan Theater, by the way, on the 14th, 15th, and 16th, doing his Lucha Vavoom. Speaking of Lucha Vavoom, Ozzy, who wants to throw a party at my house this weekend, does our movie reviews and is my faithful carpenter and companion. He wants to throw a party at my place. I don't want him to throw a party at my place. I'd rather him throw a party at your place. Kyle?
What's up, Adam?
How say you?
Pretty good, man. How say you?
I say nay to a party at my house. You say yay?
I say a party at my house.
Do you have a house?
I have a house. I live with some bachelors. We got a pool. We got a basketball. We got ping pong. We're always looking for a reason to party, so why not Ozzy's birthday?
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say you have a basketball, do you
I got a basketball and a basketball goal.
A goal? Oh, huge fan. Yeah. Yeah, you hear Kobe had 81 goals last night for the Lakers team. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I understand.
Where do you live? Are you in Los Angeles?
I'm out in Duarte, just east of Pasadena.
It's a little bit of a haul for the Oz man. I know where that is. Probably Duarte is probably about 25 miles from here.
Big party town,
Duarte.
Not a big party town. Our house is a party house, so.
Do you have enough yard for Ozzy to do his barbecuing?
Heck yeah. We barbecue out every weekend.
Mm-hmm. 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 All right. Well, look, we will we'll put you on the roster, but I got to say, we kind of like something a little more centrally located, yes?
It doesn't sound too far.
Understandable.
Okay. But I appreciate
that,
Kyle.
How about an invite if we don't have it at my house, then?
Well, then you'd just be a strange guy hanging out at someone else's house, so no. And by the way, that flap steak that Ozzy cooks up isn't cheap, so we don't need another mouth to fill. I'm sorry, but we'll put you on hold, and maybe we'll use your place if the wheels come off the wagon. Justin?
Yeah?
You have a place for Ozzy to throw his party?
Oh, yeah, I do. Costa Mesa, man. I don't know if that's too far, but
yeah, it's a little further than Duarte.
That's further than Duarte?
Well, it is for us, yes.
Oh, all right.
If you live in Costa Mesa, it's not
though,
further.
No? Yeah, right. The beach, it's nice.
Yeah,
and
but,
his whole family's probably Mexican, right? Well, I live in a Mexican neighborhood.
Oh, perfect. But Ozzy,
you know?
hold on a second. Ozzy is not Mexican. He's
Nicaragua.
And let me tell you something. I don't want to make any judgment calls here. But I'm guessing your party goers, your folks, they like to drink up a little bit, right? We don't need a whole bunch of drunk Nicaraguans trying to get back to L.A. after going out to Orange County or Duarte. After eating flap steak and drinking Budweiser all day, right? Yeah, it's going to be trouble.
He's the Nicaraguan Darth Vader with that heavy breathing. If he comes within 6 feet of a microphone.
Well, we sucked up a little too much asbestos when we were swinging a hammer back in the day.
I see.
Let me try. Joseph wants to offer up his parents' place. Joseph?
Yes.
How say you?
I say let's do it.
Where are you?
In Orange.
Your parents have a house?
Yeah, we're on about an acre.
Ooh.
There's a swimming pool, barbecue, huge patio, fire pit.
Really?
Yeah.
And now, what about your parents? Don't you have to clear it with them first?
They'll be fine with it.
Wait, how old are you?
Yeah, how old are you?
24.
24. And are you sure they'll be fine with Ozzy and his buddies, his marauding buddies, coming over to party and barbecue at your house?
I'm sure they would be.
All right. I like the land. I like the acre part.
Can you get some broads?
Can you get women over there? Well, no. He's a married man. Ozzy's a married man. 26 years.
Bruska's thinking for himself.
No, I'm not. I'm married.
26 years he's been married to the lovely Sylvia. Joseph, hang on.
Okay.
All right. Try to work this out. I'd still like people to call in 866-901-ADAM from, let's make it that more the L.A. area, because we're a little bit out of Ozzy's range. Ozzy, sit tight. Dana, we're going to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo with
all right.
you. This is a game that's sweeping the nation. We played it, I think, in the 6 o'clock hour. Let's hear an example of how it goes. First thing first, I'm an atheist, and I'm always looking for a new religion. Judaism seems to be the front runner so far for me. I like it.
Well, yeah, you should be a Jew. It's a smart, intelligent decision, I think, and they're lucky to have you.
All right, that was Mike Lynch, who's currently holding the belt buckle, and... give us an example how not to do it. Do you have Rachel Perry?
Why
you got the iron on a Kona.
Kona, they have the coffee there. Do you like coffee? You have the.
I don't like coffee. I like tea.
Really? I love tea. My family's from England, so I drink tea all the time.
I'm really more of a postum man.
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, see, you don't say I don't know or what is that.
It's
or,
not about you. You understand?
It's not about you.
It's about Ace and agreeing with Ace at all costs.
Right. Now, Dana's a professional, so we expect a lot out of him. On the other hand, we just blindsided him with this at 9:10 in the morning, so we'll see how he does. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
He's going to try and throw you off.
I'll try to throw you off.
On.
Yeah, it's like riding a bull.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Thinking about getting a vasectomy. I think it's the right thing to do.
Well, for you, I think it's the perfect thing to do because there's that expression, when they made you, they broke the mold. And nothing would make me sadder than a lesser Adam Carolla, a generation down, a smaller version of you, not as good as you.
Yeah, it'd be disappointing, my offspring. On the other hand, what a gift to share with the world, my wonderful seed.
Well, that's true. You can't argue with that point. To see the smaller version at like a lithograph of a great painting.
The copy. Of an original.
Like a poster of a Magritte.
Numbered and signed by the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I'm getting in on my own ass kissing.
Yeah.
I'm actually turned into a donut so I can kiss my own ass.
Like a Frank Frazetta lithograph of a topless woman with a big sword.
Ooh, a topless.
That's
boobies.
That's how I would think of your kid.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm thinking about getting a new ride. Thinking about going American. You know, Ford's going under. I feel like I need to support the American automobile manufacturers.
Well, you've given so much to America as it is with your voice, with sharing who you are, that I think an American, somebody should give you a car.
I should be given a car, yeah.
That's what makes me mad.
I think I should be given a Japanese car, though. I am a Lexus man. I like the Lexus.
Well, what have they done for us?
Huh?
What are the Japanese?
Oh, no. You know what that was? It was a surf competition. He'd got barreled. He'd got tubed. We'd lost sight of him, and then he blew out of the barrel.
I didn't know Lexus was a Japanese car.
Wow. I just want to say, as the official judge, I would like to say that he was well on his way to claiming the belt.
I was sweating.
Title.
That was...
He almost took the belt buckle from Mike Lynch. Yeah.
He might be the champ. I mean, he got thrown off real late.
But I got to say, he was tossed, unfortunately, comes up just shy. Like Laird Hamilton surfing the big waves, he tried to catch the biggest wave. He made like Icarus and flew a little too close to the sun.
I flew a little too close to the sun.
It was nice. But look, you take your hat off to him.
Great competitor.
A great competitor.
Mike Lynch was definitely sweating over there.
Yeah, that was tough.
I came in oiled.
Yeah.
I came in ready.
Yeah, no, you're ready to go. And as far as prep and watching game film and that kind of stuff, you dotted your I's, you crossed your T's, you had a real good first three quarters, and then a guy closed the door on you, closed the window, took it the other way to the house.
Well, I moved out of the mandatory and into the freestyle, and I just lost it completely.
Yeah, you went from the compulsory into the freestyle.
Yeah, nothing to hang your head about.
Yeah, no.
You walk out of there with your chin up.
Yeah, you keep your head up, you put it in your hip pocket, and you walk away. You don't hang your head, and you use it. You use it for the next time you play Ask Us Rodeo. Yeah. Whether it's on this show, whether it's out in the street, whether it's you're on the Grease Man show or another big radio show.
Oh, the Grease Man.
Yeah, smacky, smacky.
The Grease Man.
Wherever you go, your travels, whenever you use Ask Us Rodeo, again, you use this as an example. You only grow stronger.
Yeah, I'll come back. I'll come back.
Adam, no matter what you say, I agree. Everything you do is genius.
Dana Gould, everyone, the great Dana Gould. We're going to say good morning, goodbye, and adios to Dana, and thank him for coming in. 14th, 15th, and 16th over at the Mayan Theater doing the Lucha Vavoom. That's in February. Also, the Aristocrats coming out on DVD tomorrow. Going to be in Aspen.
I do have the receipt, Adam.
All right. So, again, I told...
I'm wearing the bib.
I told...
From the palm.
Humiliating.
I told Taryn, signed by the waiter.
Told Taryn that she needed to order the surf, turf, and surf. It's a lobster, steak, and lobster. It's that much more expensive than just the surf and turf. Lobster bisque you ordered. You got the salad.
The Gigi salad.
The Gigi salad. The you got the lobster. Ordered the filet, 16 ounce. Creme brulee, nice. Two beverages. They didn't charge you for the beverages? What the?
Of course they did.
Okay, well, let me see. String beans.
We so had a whole bottle.
What about the bottle of wine?
Yeah, it came. I got the Behringer Chardonnay. It came to $294.38. So you did spend money. You did spend money
with yes, the tip. He did. With the tip, $297.
And I guarantee you, Taryn, that is more money than Mike has spent in the last 15 years of dates combined, easily
non-expensible. Yeah.
So what happened? Okay. Was there a love connection?
All right. Well. It was definitely not a match made in heaven.
Whoa.
What happened?
Well, what happened was we met up here, and then we went over to the Palm, and we had dinner, and that was it.
Yeah. Why did it not go according to plan?
Well, you know, at first I was going to be nice. I was going to be honest, but I was going to be nice. But you know what? I figured you could take constructive criticism,
sure.
Right? I mean,
sure.
It's going to be good
really,
for you.
No, not really, but go ahead anyway.
Yeah.
So let me start out by saying we... I showed up, and he was on the phone.
Oh.
Doing show business, by the way.
Right.
He's
right.
In show business, everyone.
It's a little bit of a power move that some women may have fallen prey to, but not the beautiful Taryn.
No. Business, I have.
Right.
I don't need anymore.
That's straight up. That's bad.
You don't
Put
do that.
Put the phone away.
Put the phone away. All right. What else?
So we get to the restaurant, and we went to get a drink. And just because our table wasn't ready.
Right.
And he asked me, you know, what I drank and whatever. And he says, so you drink hard liquor. Like it was a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was criticizing me from the get-go.
She's criticizing
you?
Criticizing, judging, you know.
Did you have a problem with her drinking hard liquor?
I was drinking hard liquor. I had no problem
yeah,
with
that.
Yeah,
that's because he wanted to, you know, join and be like me.
So you're saying he sort of said it with judgment in his voice.
Yes.
He was looking
How
down
did you
on
say
you.
It, Mike? How did you say it?
She'll have a drink.
Really?
Wait, that doesn't sound like what Taryn's
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, Taryn.
I know. It's like an accident. No two witnesses see the same thing. Let's get the bartender involved.
Well, okay, I'll continue with the
all
drink.
Right, all right.
Okay. So I asked him if he was a beer drinker, and he, you know, he said yes, and he asked me the same question, and I said no. And I said, because I don't do well with the carbonation, and then he goes, oh, is it like the calorie count? And I said no. So he went on with the calorie count, and I was like, wait, did you... Not
yeah.
listen to me?
So you,
he was probably nervous. Were you nervous?
No, I'm not nervous.
He's
wow.
pissed well, so, right now.
Here's the thing
I
about...
I have to say, that wasn't the only time he didn't listen to me. I had to... I think it was four times.
I demand a quiz. I want to be quizzed. And I tell you, give me 10 questions. Truth, false, fill in the blank, multiple choice. $30 an answer.
All
Get
right.
me back even on this date. This
really?
$300 debacle.
Wow.
Give me a shot. I'll answer them anything correctly.
No, no one cares that much. But listen, let me just say this, though, August. You have some poop that you'd like to share about this Taryn, who claimed she was ready to go and had an open heart as she went into this thing. She
was very open.
Ready for love.
Mm-hmm. She is
tell the truth.
Involved. Yes. I don't know if we can reveal names.
Oh, it's like an episode of Flavor of Love.
Mm-hmm. It's a big celebrity.
Wow.
His name is Shamu. Is that what it is?
The whale?
I don't know.
Shamu.
Is it the fact that Mike has no sense of humor? Is that what turned you off to him? And that he shouldn't be talking into the
mail? No, it's from the Black Eyed Peas. She makes time with one of the Black Eyed Peas.
He told me he wasn't going to say anything, but okay, we're on.
It's on.
Go ahead.
It's on.
He told everybody. Just so you know, he told everybody.
Wow.
He told me, and that's enough.
He told me. He told everybody. He
was okay, that's fine.
You have more negative things to say about Mike, I think.
Yes.
Right?
I'll make the list. confrontational, argumentative.
Confrontational.
Yeah, ooh. Judgmental.
She
we went
me
over
at the
already.
Table and I got the sympathetic look from the waiter. He saw it going on. I said, "Look, hit her with the bottle of wine." It was awful.
I can't understand why he can't get laid. I can't understand.
Yeah. You know when a girl starts ripping into you, and this is the first date, and you don't hear what she's saying. It's just more like, and I'm thinking, how can I fake my own death? Maybe I can go to the bathroom and pull the fire alarm and
why fake it, Mike? Why not just go throw
it? She's hot. The fireman will take her home.
But
right?
Let me explain this. Let me give you some advice, Mike. First date, you want something. And you have to deal with her like you're a cop. Like she's a cop and she just pulled you over. Go into ass kiss mode. You're trying to get out of a ticket.
Right.
You know,
right.
But don't start dressing them down. You know what I'm saying?
I never dressed her
yes,
down.
Yes, and just agree.
Never.
You have to be very agreeable.
No. Well, this makes August now 0-2 with the women in the office.
Yes.
Taryn says no to him because she's with one of the Black Eyed Peas.
Mm-hmm.
And Brittany, the other sales girl who likes, you know.
She's with the black guys.
Right. She's with black guys not named Pete. That's what I was going to say. Every other guy, black guy with any other name, she'll take him.
Yeah. Yeah, you better get a Sharpie and take it to yourself real
what's
soon.
What's the deal? Are you really going out with someone else?
Yes.
No, I wasn't. The reason why we got on that topic of who I used to date mm-hmm. was because I told him I try to stay away from, you know, people in show business. And he was very offended by that.
Let me jump in. Mike, that's the problem with Mike. He's a talent booker and he tries to stay away from people in show business. That's why we do it.
They try to stay
that's
away
why
from
we talk
him.
To the sales staff for 2 hours every morning. You guys at least have found some common ground on that. You're both trying to stay away from celebrities. Mike doing a better job, arguably. Leave you. All right. So, Mike, not a love connection by any stretch of the imagination.
I'd say not.
All right. You want to... Wait a minute. This is not going to work at all. We're going to put you two at a motel, but we got to work it out. We're going to put you and Big Tad at the motel. Also, let's see. Got to take a break. We don't have time to do sports and news just yet, do we? No. We'd be shoehorning it in. Yeah. Bresca, what do you want to do? Have Mike play Ass Kiss Rodeo with Taryn.
I'd like to see that. I don't. I don't know if Taryn's been prepped, so maybe after the break we can do that.
That would be an interesting. Do you think? You think you could do that, Mike? I mean, you really have to swallow your pride.
I'd really have to swallow my pride.
That'd be the mark of a champion.
I am game. That's right. A mark of a true competitor.
We should prep Taryn first, and maybe take a call or two.
All right. Again, we're all over the road here, but someone has a house for Ozzy. I'm trying to get him set up with a house to throw his party at his 47th birthday party so he doesn't do it at my house. Miguel?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You have a house for Ozzy to party at?
Yeah, there's a house in Arleta. It's completely empty. We could throw the party there.
Yeah, that's an abandoned house in a horrible neighborhood.
No, it's not abandoned. It's all being for sale. It's going through escrow, so, you know, we moved out.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and it's not a bad neighborhood. It's a nice neighborhood.
Yeah, it's Arleta. Where is Arleta? I think it's too far out of town.
That's near Van Nuys.
Oh, really? Ooh.
Yeah, it's right next to Van Nuys.
Yeah, that's bad. Even Van Nuys doesn't like being next to Van Nuys. That's how bad Van Nuys is. They would like to get away from themselves.
Is that right?
Well, hang on, Miguel. That might be a decent plan. So, Taryn.
Yes.
Do you you want to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo with Mike?
Sure.
Do you think you could do that?
At least there would be some kind of excitement, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. Ouch. Wow.
I'm trying to figure out who's to blame or who's at fault. I mean, obviously you guys.
Not the guy who paid.
I think I was done when I was watching him eat, and there was like this. Like massive amount of butter on his chin. At first, I wasn't going to say anything, but after 15 minutes, I couldn't stand staring.
That
at
wasn't
him
butter. He was trying to get a discount from the waiter.
We got a call from Mike August, by the way, about this date that we should probably play to kind of summarize things.
That would be a decent idea. Who'd you call to summarize the date?
He called a couple of people, but we have
Oh, snap. But
go ahead and mention the one that we're going to play, Brusca.
This one's to our friend Jimmy Kimmel.
That's good.
Well, you'd be very pleased to know that the date was a complete debacle.
Wow.
He literally ripped me at the table. I got the sympathetic look from the waiter. What else? She berated my tip. And what else happened? Oh, and we ended up, she said we should just be friends. It was a disaster.
Wow.
That means she don't even want to be friends.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. Come on.
Yeah, we should be friends.
But you are a little bit, like, confrontational, I feel like, a little bit. Like, you were going into it, like, you didn't even want to, like, pay for the expensive date. Yeah.
Yeah. What? Well, obviously, you're bitter about the $300.
Bitter?
And no payday.
I want to ask Taryn, what exactly was the tip, the exact amount of the tip?
$40. It was under 19%. I mean, under 20%.
Around 19%.
Check the math. Okay. Yeah. First, they scammed me for the $25 in-house credit card. You don't have to tip on top of that. That drove the total over to $249. It actually was a $225 meal.
Well, listen, the point is I don't know if you can write this off because you haven't been laid in 4 years. There's got to be some sort of tax exemption when you haven't been laid in 4 years that you can actually bring receipts in for failed dates. Get it all wiped off your
August,
taxes.
August, by the way, as a footnote to that date, had a date with me yesterday. He got the tickets for us. He landed the tickets to the Denver Steeler game yesterday, and he let me pay for everything the entire day yesterday. Awesome. I got to pay for the tickets, for the food, for any beer, for everything else.
Yeah.
Some sport.
Did you have a great day?
Oh, you're such a gentleman,
every
Dave.
Dream for you come true?
All right. Did you get
to the game, the
party,
the after party?
It's been a controversial weekend for Mike August.
Expensive is what it was.
Greatest talent booker that ever lived. We will take a break. Taryn and Mike are going to play a little very uncomfortable Ask Kiss Rodeo. And then we'll do some sports and some news.
If we have time, we might be running out of time.
Thanks.
Nothing would make me happy to see Damashek run out of time.
All right. Thank you. You don't have to chime in with that, Brusca. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes. All right. Quickly, Mike August, our booker's in studio, also at Taryn, our beautiful sales girl. They went on a date. There was no love connection. He took her to the Palm. He spent $300, but he got nothing. Now, we decided to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo, a little guest Ask Kiss Rodeo, something we haven't done before. It'll be interesting to see how the dynamic works. Mike, you'll be forced to bite the bullet, bite your tongue, and kiss some Taryn ass, even though you're seething with hatred for it right now. Taryn, you'll be forced to get your ass kissed by young Mike August.
Oh, it's going to be difficult, but I think I can handle it.
Difficult for her.
Let's try it.
For her, it's going to be a problem.
Here we go. Yes, pot it up.
All right. I like my hair pulled back.
Wait a second. There we go.
I like my hair pulled back.
Like your hair pulled back as a look for you? I think it's a fantastic look for you with your hair pulled back. It shows the beauty of your tremendous face.
But, yeah, actually, I like it better when it's down.
And down is also great because it shows your hair is so lovely. The more hair we see from you, the better off we all are.
Well, I think you were out of line on the date.
He had to swallow some bile before he began speaking. I knew that would throw you off, Mike.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm so glad to be out of that segment.
Sadly, not a love connection. These two really do hate each other. Both of you, go home and take a good long look in the mirror. Taryn, you take a picture. Mike, don't do that. Look in the mirror and see what's wrong. Something is up. I don't know what it is. You two went out to a nice steak joint. 5 minutes into it, it was a disaster.
I learned.
It was 9/11.
Yes. I hope you learned from it.
10 minutes into it. Ooh. Wow. Kitty's got claws. All right. You guys excuse yourselves because it's time for us to do a little news with Rachel Perry.
The entertainment headlines in a second, but first I want to start with this great story about a guy near Boston who posted an ad online to sell cocaine.
Wow.
And he put his phone number on there. And, you know, police called up, arranged to meet him. He sold them some coke, and then they arrested him.
Wow.
What kind of a...
I think people think the internet is international waters or something. You know, oh, you can gamble on it. You can do whatever you want. Put the kiddie porn on there. They don't realize you can get popped.
Yeah, I don't get that. I told you last week, Bobby and Whitney rumored breaking up. Yeah.
You say I like people to say nuh-uh.
British tabloids, though, rumor that Madonna and Guy Ritchie might be breaking up, but nah, I don't buy that. Also rumored Angelina and Brad maybe having twins. Here's one you're going to like. JLH, the good old Jennifer Love Hewitt, may be posing for Playboy.
That would be awesome.
You would love that.
Yes.
Big Tad agrees.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be something tasteful, though.
Well, you know, apparently it's in some sort of bid to get taken seriously as an adult, as like an actress or I don't...
Be funny if a celebrity decided to take the Playboy pictures and announce that they were shameless and completely tasteless.
Yeah.
They were so lewd. They're so dirty. I love them.
It's never about posing nude. Yeah, it's always about the artistry involved. And they always feel totally comfortable, and the people are great, and it's never about the money, even though I would never do it for free. They never do that point.
The photographer treated me like the filthy tramp that I am.
Yeah, it was awesome. I felt soiled. God bless you, and have fun, teenage boys. Knock yourselves out.
Poor Shar Jackson. You know who Shar Jackson is, right?
Yes.
She's the one that is the baby mom of Kevin Federline's first couple of kids.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for this girl. She has some sort of publicist that put out a press release, which is intended to get you publicity in magazines, doing things, whatnot. Well, instead, all of these publications, including ourselves now, I guess, have latched on to the actual release that went out, talking about how she could be a number of things for your publication. Fashion expert, relationship fun expert. We're open to whatever type of feature you want to do.
So they're begging for a job
essentially,
instead of getting publicity.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, I can't judge because it's impossible to judge, and I won't judge, but I do think about guys who have that family, have a couple of youngins with another gal, and then sort of move on and start a new family and don't pay so much attention to the old family. I won't judge, and I can't, but if I did, I would say maybe there's a little flaw there. Seems wrong. It really seems wrong. I know guys don't exactly have that gene, and they can move on a little easier, but you know that thing where they're talking about what a great dad the guy is and a great father, but his kids live in Florida?
This time he's getting it right with the new kids. He's getting it. This time he's making up for lost time.
Right. Awesome. Sheck's family never did that.
No.
Hence his self-esteem.
So a bunch of shows canceled recently. Malcolm in the Middle, that 70s show, Heather Graham's Emily's Reasons Why Not. West Wing also canceled.
How do you cancel a show where the glue that holds the billboard paper up is still wet? Do you know the Emily's Reasons Why Not? I mean, there's a million billboards for that show out. It aired twice, three times. How do you do that? I know they do that, but you can air a show twice and then decide to pull the plug?
I don't understand. Why wouldn't you take the whatever millions and millions of dollars that you spent trying to promote it, and instead of promoting it, just like make more episodes, give it more of a chance to catch on.
Yeah, not that we're not excited that it's failed. You always, in show business, you love it when other people fail, but still, it seems like it's been on episode and a half. I can't believe it. And it was hyped for about 6 months before it then got the plug pulled on it.
Oh, well, that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Reporting from Cloud 9, Super Bowl matchup is set. Pittsburgh Steelers, Seattle Seahawks, and Detroit Motor City. Super Bowl 40 ought to be dynamite. NBA last night, Kobe Bryant goes for 81, second highest single game total in history. Of course, to Wilt Chamberlain's 100 back in 62. As I said earlier, if there's no film or video to prove it, I don't know that it even happened.
That's
we can
right.
go on and on with
yes.
the scores, but quickly, I want to get back to a couple things. First of all, Seattle's tremendous victory yesterday against Carolina. You know, all of Seattle, I assume, all the Pacific Northwest, you know, going wild. But Deshaun Foster, the running back of the Carolina Panthers, mm-hmm. spoke on behalf of his teammates and said, you know, they didn't have their best effort yesterday, but they're already looking forward to 2006.
Well now, buddy boy, I got a puss on. We gave our best, but today it wasn't good enough. We're down, but not out. Tomorrow's a new day. We may have lost the battle, but we are going to win the war.
Wow. That was Deshaun?
Deshaun Foster of UCLA. Right, yeah. Former Heisman, you know, hopeful. And then also one other thing, you know, Antonio Davis, the Knickerbockers forward, who was suspended by the NBA by Commissioner David Stern for 5 games for jumping into the stand.
Well, I got to say, I don't want to cut you off, but when you do not take a 6'9 brother who weighs 255 pounds of strapping muscle, power forward in the NBA, and monkey with his wife in the third row without expecting him to do something about it.
Well, exactly. You know, a lot of people are saying he shouldn't have been suspended at all. The NBA league office thought otherwise. Here's what Antonio Davis, who refuses to apologize for his actions, had to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
The commission has spoken, and now it's my turn. Where I come from, you don't put your mitts on another fella's gal. That schnook was looking at her like he wanted to take a slow elevator to China with her.
Wow.
So Antonio, as you can hear there, outraged.
Wow, 22 skidoo.
Right.
Gee whiz.
So that's that.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
I like you ending each sports with the defiance of that's that.
That's
like that.
Yes, that's from two great entertainers. First, Bobby De Niro in Goodfellas, and then Sal Iacono of Jimmy Kimmel Live.
A great Sal Iacono. All right, well, that's it with the show, and that's that, as the great Dave Damashek would say. I want to thank Casey Wasserman, the owner, the 14-year-old owner of the LA Avengers opening game. This Sunday, the Staples Center. Dana Gould for coming in here. Going to be at the Mayan Theater. February 14th, 15th, 16th. Also, Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. Frank Caliendo from Mad TV and the Fox NFL pregame show. Josh, our folk singer. Ozzy, we're going to work on getting a house for you, my friend, so you don't have to throw your birthday party at my house. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.